Blog Talk Radio.
What that regressive party wants to do, they want to blow up the United States Constitution and the government. This is January 18th, Friday, 3 o'clock, and this is The Last Word. I'm Michael Lawson, along with Thomas Fortenberry, who was in Washington trying to
duck and cover, apparently.
Duck and cover?
Well, I didn't know that this was all going to blow up while I was there, but wow. We've had a pretty exciting week, Mike.
I was changing stuff till 5 o'clock this morning because I didn't know what to put on the air. And I'm telling you that every time I turned around, it was some other nonsense, some other nut job in the regressive party was saying something stupid.
It was like they're trying to, it's a race to outdo each other.
They've always tried to outdo each other, but this is completely idiotic.
Everybody had to overthrow the president in a new way.
I went ballistic last week while you're in Washington, and the first 15 minutes of my going ballistic wasn't heard because I had the mic on mute. Because I was eating some pretzels and I didn't want to, I was playing
crunch,
the background,
crunch.
I didn't want it to come on the air. And I forgot to take it off.
Well, that just goes to
Man, I'm telling you, but.
Well, I thought it was bad enough with Alex, whatever his name was on Pierce. He went off on his tirade. But now we've heard it over and over, and not just from, blowhard. Rush Limbaugh types, but we've heard it from supposedly serious members of government from every level, from state houses to governorships to now the U.S. Senate. I mean, this is unbelievable. And this isn't unknown conspiracy nuts and black helicopter guys out somewhere hanging out, in the shrine of Ruby Ridge. These are our literal sitting congressman right now.
But, the thing that gets me is, do they actually think, maybe they do think that people believe this. Are there people so gullible, and we're talking about 13 states in this United States, that are so far out of the, and they keep talking about the mainstream. They lost the House and they lost the Senate, even though the numbers don't show that. The only reason why they maintained the House is because they were able to redistrict.
Yeah.
And
we call that gerrymandering.
Everybody does it. The problem is, though, they claim that they won. They did not win. There were a million more Democrats that voted for House members than Republicans voted for House members. A million
Look,
a and a million and a half.
It doesn't matter. The thing that cracks me up with the Republicans, so they always win, and they're always right, and they're always, you know, perfect and everything else.
Yeah.
The one that cracks me up the most is, you know, when Bush was selected into office, they called that a mandate.
Right.
Okay. But when this guy wins overwhelmingly, and this last time he has won more than any president in history except for FDR, they say that's nothing. And my favorite quote of all was one of our illustrious Republicans on TV, closely related to John Boehner, said,
regressive party.
I could believe this, but he said, when said, hey, don't y'all just have to give Obama his chance? You know, he won. He's got the mandate. Don't we just have to pass his policies now and just accept, you know, defeat and all that? And they said, he didn't win. John Boehner was reelected. And what it meant was,
John Boehner was reelected to president?
He wasn't reelected. Hey, to begin with, he wasn't elected to anything.
That's right.
He was rechosen barely by his own party for his role as speaker. Now, they are comparing that to an election where they just got their, as we said the other day, elephantine ass handed to them on the table. And I can't understand the fantasy land that they live in.
Well, they live in a fantasy land because the people who live in that fantasy land with them are munchkins. You know, it's like the Wizard of Oz. All the people who vote for them are all walking around like little munchkins. They're little munchkins. They're all munchkins. They're complete moronic munchkins. And when you have fools, fat slobs like Rush Limbaugh, who is a draft-dodging, lime-sucking, drug addict, who can talk about the President of the United States, talk about going in and shooting people in another country when his ass stood right here because he had a pimple on it and he was afraid to carry a gun and help stand up for this country. And you got that other fool, that rocker, what's that fool that wears the cowboy hat?
Ted Nugent,
who cracked and wet his pants when he was just about to be sworn in to go into the military, and they told him to get the hell out of here. They didn't want anybody like that in the military. And he, he's no longer allowed to perform in military shows because he's a lying, lying fool.
The correct term is wang dang doodle.
Wang dang doodle fool, yes, okay. Then you also have the Sean Hannity. You also have the Bill O'Reilly. You also have all these other people that do all this talking, big, carry the big stick. What? To carry AK-47s? You know why? You know what they say to the person that has to carry a big gun like that? It's because they have a little, tiny thingamajig down there that they can't find. That's the reason.
You mean there's some kind of compensation?
You think?
Mm.
Every one of them would piss in their pants if someone put a gun to their face.
Yes.
Every one of them. Even if they had a gun in their hand, they would still piss in their pants. Every last one of them. Did you see our fool Hannity the other day? He had Lucchese. Was it Lucchese? I can't remember which attorney general it was. Who was, wasn't it, Casey? I can't remember now. He had the last attorney general for the Republicans who took guns out of the place. He was on Hannity. And he asked Hannity, evidently didn't pre-screen this with him, because he asked him, he says, don't you think the President of the United States is trying to circumvent the Constitution? And he says, no. He said, these executive orders, they're illegal. Okay. No.
Because everyone that's within the echo chamber is supposed to echo.
That's right.
And when you actually think or speak the truth, it doesn't match. It jars.
He said, well, don't, our these 23 the executive orders against the Constitution? He says, no. And Hattie looked at him like, you weren't supposed to say that.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to go over what they are.
Well, look, it's ignorance. They don't understand executive order versus law.
No, they do. It's just when Obama does it.
Right.
They understand what it is.
One of the things that cracked me up, we'll get to this later, but one of the things that cracked me up in all of the he's a tyrant, we're going to overthrow him, we're going to reject his laws and everything else, one of the statements that came out from one of our congressmen was, if the president is allowed to suspend constitutional rights on his personal whims, our free republic has effectively ceased to exist.
Now, personal whims.
All of that aside, he's complaining about executive orders and an imperial presidency. He's complaining. These are the people who had a president in that was indefinitely detaining people without charge for not days, for years, and was in so much trouble of being dragged before the international courts and the Supreme Court and being impeached that they had to pass retroactively the Patriot Act to even cover part of it, and then was sued repeatedly and had to change the law, how many times? I think about six times, to even keep him from prison. But they never complained ever at that time about a guy having free personal whims and the rights to do anything he wants.
Are you forgetting something? Neither the president, the past president, or vice president can go to outside our hemisphere to certain places because they're going to be arrested on sight.
That's true, because they violate international law.
Because they violate an international law.
Right. But my point is, all of Obama's aside, they're outraged. Outraged that a president can act unilaterally or on his own discretion or imperially or anything. That was the entire definition of the Bush years. They said, we have a unilateral presidency. Remember, they were defining an imperial presidency.
That's right.
They said, we have far more range, and the Congress can't rein us in.
That's right.
And they didn't do anything for 8 years there.
Because Congress is afraid. But, that reminds me of the Casablanca, when the Gestapo chief says, from this man on, this place is closed under suspicion of sedition. He says, okay. Excuse me, sir. Here's your winnings, please.
Yes.
Oh, thank you. Please, listen. To show you how bad this has gotten, I just want to play you this one thing. And we're going to get into this after I play this, but they know they can't fight back against what has finally happened with the mass murders in Newton, Connecticut. They now have a commercial, and for those that haven't heard the commercial, that uses the president's children, they have gone over the deep end.
Now, this is their response to the murder of children.
To the president.
Are the president's kids more important than yours? Then why is he skeptical about putting armed security in our schools when his kids are protected by armed guards at their school? Mr. Obama demands the wealthy pay their fair share of taxes, but he's just another elitist hypocrite when it comes to a fair share of security, protection for their kids, and gun-free zones for ours.
Protection for their kids, but gun-free zones for our kids. The President of the United States, the Secret Service, is the one that says who gets protection. It's not the President of the United States.
To begin with, there's about 50 things wrong with it. But the Secret Service, by law, they protect every political official and their families. That's their mandate. They go follow around the First Lady. They follow around children. They do that to everybody. They even do it to past presidents. They still hang out with the pinned buckthorn bushes and stuff. Okay. That's, everyone knows this. It's obvious. We don't even want to talk about that. I also get very offended with the continuing them and us. Let's take America back from them. That whole underlying racism and alienism that has been the hallmark of their opposition to Obama is what infuriates me also. Because it's, again, somehow this alien, you know, black terrorist who is not one of us has somehow taken over the White House. And now he's trying to take our lands and rights away from us. And he's going to take our guns away so that he can lock us all in a prison and, you know, gang rape us or something, like all black people do.
Well,
but it's unbelievable to me that they get away with this in this day and age.
But they get away with it because we have a normal country, but there are about 13 or 14 states that live in Munchkin Land. And the Wizard of Oz is running Munchkin Land. And the man behind the mirror is Rush Limbaugh. They don't know. He's the man behind the curtain operating all the things. They don't know it. Rush tells you that so much every day. I'm the one that's actually learning, but don't say nothing.
Yeah.
But
I don't understand, though, how they get away with it. You know, I very rarely, you know, when my personal fears and disgust in life is the entirety of the Bush family and their endless quest for abject power, money, and the destruction of everything that I think is democratic. Okay, I've got a big problem with the Bush family for years. Admit it up front because they bother me. Now, that said, George Herbert Walker Bush, the one that they often call, you know, Bush Senior incorrectly or whatever, I actually respect in this way, despite his craven, secretive, backstabbing, power-hungry ways.
And that's his good point.
That's his good point. He was actually still a statesman. He still understood law, international politics, diplomacy, and all of the things that statesmen...
Well, he actually fought in the war.
Right. He understood the limited use
of
power.
And we got it.
He understood how to restrict things, how to do things, how to use diplomacy, how to work with other nations, what you could and couldn't do. You know, he had limits. And his son, of course, showed that he had none of those qualities. He had none of that intelligence, none of that savvy. And so he had an abysmal record on the world stage. He was a laughingstock. He couldn't, you know, negotiate with nations. He couldn't bring people along. He couldn't get a coalition. You know, even when he paid them, he couldn't get a coalition. But despite all that, anyway, my point to this is George Bush Sr., if you want to use that word, the original George Bush, had enough dignity that as soon as these nut jobs, and we're going to talk about Stockman,
but
as soon as they came out with stuff like this, the last time the NRA came out with stuff like this, he instantaneously stood up, called them out on the carpet, and he did what? He ended a lifetime membership in the NRA in front of the whole nation and embarrassed them because he was at least that dignified. And he knew what was right and wrong because they used that whole, the, you know, jackbooted thugs and the ATF and everybody are all, you know, evil black helicopter, you know, empire people that we must destroy. And he took exception to that. So
well,
now
but,
we've got
but
somebody.
Before we get over to that, right, because we want to talk about that, I think we need to talk about, since we played this piece for the NRA, why the NRA has come out with that. It's because of Obama's 23 executive orders on gun violence. And,
true.
But again,
what does that have to do with attacking little children?
Well, here's the thing.
And Mrs. Bruin, what's
now, that? They're saying that he is They say he's a king, he's this, he's that,
yep.
Okay. Now,
in our favorite words, they brought back the fascism and
nullification,
and everything.
Nullification. These are, in case you haven't seen them, ladies and gentlemen, or read them anywhere, I'm going to read you the 23 executive orders that are included, that are the thing that these regressive neocon morons are saying the president is taking your gun and is preventing the Second Amendment.
Well, let me also preface this one thing. This is, and Obama said this clearly. These are executive orders.
Right.
They're not laws.
These are not laws.
And they only affect existing laws and interpretations that the White House has authority over.
That's right. Well, you see, well, but, and this is the thing. This is absolutely the thing. The president. Okay, 1, 2, 3. We're back in now. Okay, we're back in. How long? But we're out. How long we pulled out?
So we may not have had some speech back then. Anyway, we're talking about 23 executive orders of Obama.
Right.
But the point I wanted to make was executive orders, A, aren't laws, never can, never will be. They are executive orders. And the terms are self-explanatory. There's a legislative branch that writes and passes laws. And then there's an executive branch that executes said laws. All he is doing is, like you said, executing laws. He is, these are existing laws, and he's just basically reinforcing or tweaking existing laws.
He's
saying we should do things with this stuff up, like have a functional ATF. But anyway, I want to say that. And then secondly, that he's had far less executive orders than some other presidents.
So like, he had 31.
Like, for instance, the imperial presidency that preceded it, that had hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds, and had more, in fact, than every other president in the entire history of our country combined. Okay? So, again, here we go with Obama's wrong. We're going to fight against this tooth and nail. We're going to rise up and do everything we can to stop him. And yet we never complained when the, you know, flood of executive orders came from the other side. But anyway, go ahead.
Well,
these
are the executive orders that the president is executing. The first one says issue the presidential. this is just I can't even understand. These are supposed to be cutting into the Second Amendment. Ron, I don't know what I'm talking about. Rand, I don't know what I'm talking about. Paul said that the president is making law. Okay?
He's not making law.
No, he said he is making law.
I know, but he's not. I mean, come on.
This is an issue of a presidential memorandum to require federal agencies to make relevant data available to federal background check system.
To begin with, that's supposed to already be
done.
Yes.
That, well, hey, it's supposed to be already done.
And again, here we go.
And
this
it's a federal background check.
Yes.
It's a state.
Yes. Well, that's a law that is being, you know, ignored by our Congress to begin with. These agencies are underfunded.
That's
and
right.
Everything.
And that's the reason why it's not been done.
And then secondly, here we go again. Here is the guy making law and destroying us with his kingly ways. And it says, I'm issuing a memo.
A memo.
To tell the agencies to do their job.
To do their job.
Okay.
Right.
So that's evil.
That's
evil.
That's one. The second one is address unnecessary legal barriers, particularly relating to the Health Insurance Portability and Accountability Act, Obamacare, that may prevent states from making information available to the background check system.
Again, just reinforcing the same system. It's saying share data so that we actually know what the background is of the people we're checking.
I mean, what's the purpose of having a background check if you can't check the background?
So he says, make data available and check into any barriers to sharing the data.
Good.
Oh, okay. Well, that's, woo! I'm feeling, they're killing me. They're out front of my house, Mike.
Improve incentives for states to share information with the background check system. Oh, they're going to give the state something?
Here's another rough one.
Oh, boy.
Share.
Share.
Because you know what? I bet a system would work if it was connected.
You think? Just like this,
the first part of our show.
Okay. Direct the Attorney General to review categories of individuals prohibited from having a gun to make sure dangerous people are not slipping through the cracks. Oh, you mean like Al Qaeda going to a private gun show and buying 16 guns and 2,000 magazines?
Mm-hmm. Exactly like that, because, for instance, right now, they can. They can be on every terrorist no-fly list that we have, and yet they can still buy unlimited amounts of
money. Every terrorist in the entire world can come over here and buy a gun from us, and then use it on us.
And again, this is just a sensible statement. Review the categories to make sure they're valid, okay? That doesn't say anything. That didn't say go out and round up the neighbors at the trailer park. It said review the categories to make sure they're relevant.
Propose rulemaking to give law enforcement the ability to run a full background check on an individual before returning a seized gun.
Because, you know, right now, in our patchwork, we don't enforce things system, a lot of states have gone, because, again, they're coming to take my gun, they have gone and enacted laws or mandates or whatever that they can't check people or retain their weapons when they're seized. They have to give them right back.
Absolutely.
Oh, here, sorry, Mr. Criminal, here's your gun.
Well, also in Tennessee or Arizona, when they seize guns, instead of destroying them, their NRA is putting through laws in some states where you can't destroy the gun. You have to give the gun back out into the community.
Oh, yeah. You have to auction it off at public auction to anybody that shows up with $5. So good luck with that.
You mean Al-Qaeda can show up with $5 and buy a gun?
Yeah, you know. Probably the only people who do that, Mike, are Crips, Bloods,
gang members. Oh, yeah, let's talk about that, too. Publish a letter from ATF to federally licensed gun dealers providing guidelines on how to run background checks for private sellers. Now, wait a minute. This is a federally run gun dealers. That means if you're a federally run gun dealer, that means you are operating under the guidelines of the federal government.
That's right. And that would be the law by Congress, that federal guidelines?
So you mean they're saying that the federal government can't tell a federally operated agency what to do?
Well, it's not even telling them what to do. He says provide a letter that will provide guidance.
Right.
So it's basically go ahead and put this on the wall so that you can follow a step-by-step process in case you have an Al-Qaeda member standing in front of you.
Oh, here's one. Launch a national safe and responsible gun ownership campaign. Don't show people how to brush their teeth so they don't get cavities.
Mm-mm.
Don't do that.
You know, I remember this really neat program growing up. Had some cool jazz, some nifty little tunes. Used to do things like conjunction, junction, what's your function? It taught me all kinds of neat stuff. I don't know. I'm kind of scared. That might infringe my rights, Mike.
Review safety standards for gun locks and gun safes. Consumer Product Safety Commission.
And I bet you they called it a safe because it's not dangerous.
Oh, you think? As a matter of fact, if it was in a safe, I don't think that guy who killed the 26 people could have got the gun.
So if it had a lock on it.
issue a presidential memorandum.
Again, this doesn't do anything. It says review the standards.
Absolutely.
Just to make sure.
Didn't say we're going to come and lock you up if you don't do this.
It's not, we're taking your gun. It's not anything. It's review
the standards. Here's another one. Issue another memorandum to require federal law enforcement to trace guns recovered in criminal investigations. Oh, so that means if you find a gun in a criminal investigation, you're not supposed to know where it came from?
Yeah, now they're actually not mandated to do anything. You know, a gun's used in a crime or whatever and all that, they can't go and find out where it came from, why it was used, who gave it to them, what the history of it is.
But well, I see that every day on on CSI.
Yeah, because that's fiction, right?
Oh.
And this is the problem.
Oh.
A lot of people in America
think
these things are real. That we have strong laws, just like I've asked dozens of people. They didn't even know the assault weapons ban had been allowed to lapse under Bush. They didn't know that there weren't already restrictions that you could just go buy guns willy-nilly at gun shows and everything else through loopholes and never get checked. They didn't even know that. They said, no, there's no
law against that. I have spoken to a lot of people that did not know that you could buy a gun with just your driver's license.
Mm-hmm.
Or a library card.
We have laws. People assume that we have strong protections, but they really don't exist. That's why it's on TV.
Release a DOJ report. Release a report. Okay, you're in trouble.
Oh, my
now.
God.
Analyze the information on lost and stolen guns and make it widely available to law enforcement. We cannot make law enforcement involved in knowing guns that have been stolen.
Oh, my God. That might eventually generate a database.
Now, again, I saw that in CSI. They do that all the time. Oh, nominate an ATF director. Oh, I mean, it's only been 6 years.
There's a tough one there. Now, this is interesting, really interesting, and almost it's a total sideline. I think it's embarrassing and completely un-American that our federal, you know, law enforcement agencies aren't fully staffed, aren't funded, you know, and the fact that they intentionally inserted a law into the Patriot Act to remove the discretion of the directorship and put it in the hands of some senators so that they could block it. Because it's an NRA you know, ploy. They talked about doing this for years. Then they inserted it, got it passed. And then for six years, we've had no director because certain senators are blocking. That just infuriates me. We have no director for an agency that we have to have by law. And these are people, I remind you, that claim to be patriots, claim to be pro-American, claim to be pro-gun, pro-law enforcement, pro-war. Yeehaw! But yet they're blocking us having an ATF director. We don't have one. So the agency's been running on just, you know, standby for 6 years.
And now here's another one, because we got somebody here would be here all day. Provide law enforcement, first responders, and school officials with proper training for active shooter situations. Like, what are you supposed to do if someone breaks into school and starts shooting up the school? Just
right.
Sit there.
Well,
watch out for yourself.
We could replay those old tornado drills.
That's true. Duck and cover?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
That's what I learned, but that was with the atomic bomb being going over.
Because
our
if you turn your backside to a thermonuclear blast,
right.
It
will
protect
you.
That's right.
You've got to have a big backside if that happens. Okay, now.
It will grow big after the radiation.
Yeah. Maximum enforcement efforts to prevent gun violence and prosecute gun crime. Now, we cannot have that.
Yeah, we can't have law enforcement. That's what that reads. Maximize law enforcement.
Now, we got to star that because I'm going to talk about that. I'm going to come back to that, and that has something to do with Ronald Reagan. Okay.
What?
Yes.
Can
issue
he differ?
A presidential another memorandum.
Oh,
directed
no.
The Centers of Disease Control to research the causes and prevention of gun violence. Now, we do not know. We know why we have gun violence, because there ain't enough people with guns.
That's right.
I mean, that's
right. We've been told
exactly what Lollipop Pierre said.
Right. And, you know, this is their mantra. If we just had more guns, we'd have no violence.
Absolutely.
Right?
Just more guns, no violence.
If the rich had more money, everybody would be wealthy because it would trickle down on their heads.
Remember
that?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And sometimes it just doesn't work out that way.
Direct the Attorney General to issue a report on the availability and most effective use of new gun safety technology and challenge the private sector to develop innovative technology. Now, wait a minute. Now, why would we – well, first of all, how come we got an Attorney General? We shouldn't have an Attorney General.
I mean,
he needs to go the same way as the ATF director.
Yeah, that was probably an accident that he got through because they didn't have – his appointment tied to a senator. That's probably what. They probably need to change the Constitution or something.
I'm sure they think about it. Since it's a black attorney general, I'm sure they are thinking about a way for that to change.
And,
okay.
And by the way, just to make sure, in case we have any fringe listening, that would get real nervous and start sweatily gripping their gun because we said attorney general, you know, black guy.
Yes.
That said, direct him to issue a report.
Oh,
that's another piece of paper.
Just a report.
Not do anything. Just a report.
Just issue a report on innovative technologies.
Yeah. Isn't that nice? Wouldn't you like to see innovation? Wouldn't you like to see things become better and things become safer over time?
No. Wasn't there at one time a report that came out that said that there was a gun that was being made that only could be used by the owner?
Yes. And they blocked it. They have both DNA and thumbprint technology now.
Right.
That you can have. It's basically just like you have locks on guns that you have to press the lock down before the trigger will go. If you do not, it's coded to you. And if you do not hold it, it will not fire.
Well, yes, I saw that in Skyfall.
Yes. And that was awesome.
That's how James Bond got away.
Yeah, that was called a win.
That was a yes. That's what that was.
But no, that's been blocked for years because they say, what? No,
that would make it so somebody else couldn't take that gun.
Yeah. Oh. Well, it couldn't be used by anybody.
That's
right. It could be used by criminals. It could be stolen, used in a crime.
Well, I forgot the percentage point. The percentages is that the how many people who criminals break into a house and use their own guns on them.
Right.
And I don't think that would happen if that was the case.
They could pick it up all day long. They could hit you with it, but, you know, they could hit you with a...
They had the pistol with you.
Yeah. They could hit you with a lamp. You know, it doesn't matter.
Here with Obamacare. Clarify, the Affordable Care Act does not prohibit doctors from asking patients about guns in their home, because if doctors knew that woman had 7 guns in her home, maybe they would have...
In some kind of a manic depressive situation with the child. You know, maybe that was a situation of danger.
You think?
Or potential.
Released a letter to the health care providers clarifying that no federal law prohibits them from reporting threats of violence to law enforcement authorities. There it is, and provides incentives for schools to hire school resource officers.
Right. So, again, this is something that the Republicans everywhere, the NRA leading the charge, are running around screaming. We need an armed officer in every classroom. You know, the president is saying that every school, because some schools don't have those resources, should have resources.
Well, you know, the thing that kills me, I'm from New York City.
Mm-hmm.
I never saw a policeman in any school when I was growing up. And right now, New York City schools do not have policemen in every school.
Right.
Here in Charlotte, North Carolina, they got them in every school.
Yep.
But they don't even have them in New York City.
It's where
some schools got 5,000 kids in them.
Again, it's where there's like Republican-controlled areas. They always go, you know, all out, and you'll have the armored SWAT team standing by.
And why is that? Why is it in Republican
territory
you need to have guns?
This is a
let me have
an equivalency. How come? Because we know there are fires, and we know that fires kill people, and people die in fires.
We know they had a fire in there.
Why don't we have firemen standing by with the hoses right. in case a fire breaks out?
That's right.
Let's pay them to stand there because that would save children, right?
Well, that's isn't that the reason why they built here? Because I asked this question a long time ago. You know, they have no room. I said, why don't you build schools on top of one another? 3 and 4 stories, 5 and 6 stories. The guy in New York City got 10 stories in some schools.
Right.
I said, oh, no, because of fire, they wouldn't be able to get out. What are these kids, stupid? Huh. They can't take, you ever hear of fire drills? I went all through elementary school,
yeah.
high school, had fire drills.
Yeah.
Now they got a fire drill. Oh, you just go out the door. You're outside.
If you don't, if you built the school that way, it would also introduce them to another technological wonder of civilization. A stairwell.
Oh!
And they would learn,
stairwell.
And maybe even they would learn the further truth for when they get the big job in the big city, that you take the stairwell instead of the elevator during an emergency.
Oh.
See? And that would save lives for a lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
It would be called a skill.
Develop model emergency response plans for schools, houses, a worship, and institutions of higher education. Why do we need an emergency plan? Emergencies don't happen.
Yeah. Again, this is not doing anything, not saying we're imposing this. Just develop model plans that communities and areas and businesses could use. That's just a providing a service. Didn't say we're mandating it. Didn't say that it's coming from on high on the throne. It says develop a model that they could use if they want to plan. Right? It just blows my mind.
Now, here's how it works.
We have to fight against this.
Release a letter.
Oh, my God.
To the state.
He needs a smaller clip on that mailbox. He keeps releasing letters.
Release a letter to the state health officials clarifying the scope of mental health services that Medicaid plans must cover.
Here we go. This is the thing I hate about Democrats. They're always talking about the crazy.
Oh!
So, again, this is just a letter to clarify the scope of mental health service. What is wrong with that? That's simply, again, a service. You know, I know some of these are redundant because now we have a big service in America, worldwide, actually, called Google.
Oh.
Which is basically you could do this on Google. But this just helps because it centralizes data so that they don't have to Google emergency response plan or state health official clarified mental health services, you know, go Google. They can look at the piece of paper, and there it is for them. Wow, how about that? Almost a time saver.
Here's another that's really wonderful. Finalize regulations clarifying essential health benefits and parity requirements within the ACA exchanges. What are we talking about?
Oh, my God.
This is outrageous.
You know, that's what I hate about the president. He uses big words like clarification.
He's finalizing regulations.
You can't clarify people's benefits. Then they'll know.
You know that is going to prevent my Second Amendment rights.
Yes.
I guess he can take my guns away since he's talking about the Affordable Care Act.
If he clarifies someone's health care benefits, it might limit my AR-15 actions.
Here's another one. Commit to finalizing mental health parity regulations.
He's going to commit citizens to the mental health institutions? Is that what you said? Huh?
Well,
that's
the reason why Ronald Reagan got rid of the mental health.
Oh, shoot. Thank God.
Because crazy people don't belong
in mental health
institutions.
They belong
in jail.
No. I'm sorry. You're absolutely wrong. Have you been to a big city? They belong on our park benches, Michael.
Oh,
they belong
yes.
in the alleys.
Yes.
And on the steps of every building when you walk by.
Except on parades. They have to be clear.
Okay. Who else could help keep cups in business in America?
And finally, launch a national dialogue led by Secretary Sebelius and Duncan on mental health.
Well, out of all of the executive orders, This one was an instantaneous hit. Unfortunately, only the first part of the sentence worked, because it did launch a national dialogue.
Yes, it did.
I'm telling you what.
Yes.
But now, unfortunately, I don't think anybody's talking about mental health. Everybody's screaming, impeach him! Burn down the White House!
There was a something I wanted to bring up here about item 13. And I don't think...
When you get to item 13 in 2013, you create a apocalypse loophole.
Loophole?
It's like a wormhole, only you just go around and around for infinity and never quite die. You just suffer.
And I can't find it here because I probably... Oh, yeah. It says here that, and I can't remember when it was. I don't have it written down here. Oh, maybe I have it here somewhere.
Well, you know,
I scribbled it down.
Cheney did.
Oh, why do you think he's falling out?
Mike, that is.
I believe.
If we do that, that's it's just reprehensible that we can't help our own citizens.
But
every time you move those papers or do anything, that's what happens.
Is that what happens?
I think I don't know how much of all that we lost. But
yeah,
anyway.
My
point is, we've talked about this before, and it's not anything bad, not to say, you know, southern states, poorer areas need more help. So poorer areas, and by virtue of being poor, they don't generate enough wealth to contribute enough to help themselves and to help a bunch of others. So hence, when we pay federal taxes in, a disproportionate amount of our federal aid always goes to the poorer areas, because the really rich areas pay for themselves, and then they have some left over. They have surplus. So it comes to a point where places like the New York City end up always paying for a place like Mississippi, Alabama, or something like that. Not in the South, but any poor area, right? It's just the way it works. A rich area, like a giant city, pays for a poor area, like a rural area with hardly anybody living there. So it just boggles my mind that you get these people complaining when, you know, a hurricane, the likes that we haven't seen since, you know, the latest disaster movie, wipes out something like New York City, and then they complain about giving 5 cents, when every year, over and over, from the flood to the tornado to the hurricane, they get money all the time, you know. But they don't have any sense of fairness or equality or anything. It's always, you know, just give me what I want and screw you.
Give me what I want when I want.
Yeah, and on top of that, you got these fools. And this is what I was talking about just a minute ago. You got Mississippi complaining, you know, we're not going to follow any federal laws. And this is echoing Texas, our good old buddy, Rick Perry. You know, this fool. He said he was going to reject all President Obama's executive actions. Okay. Well, first off, you know, again, you can't reject anything. Sorry. You can't not pay attention to federal laws, like Governor Phil Bryant wants to do. He even wanted his legislature somehow to pass laws to restrict them from following any federal laws, or, you know, some fantasy land out of the Confederate days. But, you know, these people do this over and over and over, continuously. Rick Perry, if you remember, this is the part that I love, you know, while he was running for president of the United States, said he wanted to secede from the United States over Obamacare. You remember that? I mean, that's it's so ludicrous that you couldn't even play it on like a Saturday Night Live skit and it not seem stupid. But this is the way these people are. You remember Palin's whole family wanted Alaska to secede and fight against the United States while she was running for vice presidency. You know, it's this mentality that comes from Mars. I don't get it. But this is what they do. So as soon as Obama opens his mouth, they go, we aren't going to listen. We're going to leave the union.
And this reminds me of, and I'm the next time we have our show, I'm gonna have the actual, I'm gonna have the audio of the quote. But
well, this is gonna be an interesting show to have.
Rhett Butler said in Gone with the Wind.
Uh-huh.
And we're talking about here with the South, that they bake so much their hands look like cups.
Yep.
And they have nothing. They're always getting it from the North. And when they were having their smoke, their cigars in the drawing room and drinking their whiskey, and they were talking about how they were going to run the Yankees back up North, Rhett Butler says, "I think it's hard winning a war with words, gentlemen. I'm saying very plainly that the Yankees are better equipped than we. All we got is cotton and slaves and arrogance. I seem to be spoiling everybody's brandy cigars and dreams of victory."
Just pointing out the truth again.
Yeah.
You know, this is the thing I mentioned about Governor Perry before, if he wanted to take Texas out, say, of the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Well, there's a little, slight little problem with that, besides the fact that, you know, you now don't belong to a nation, you now don't have any support or help from the nation on that. Well, also, all of that stuff that you have, you know, that word we use, infrastructure, paid for and maintained by the United States.
You mean that foreign entity?
You know, I bet it's pretty hard to build and maintain massive highways all the way across the desert when you got no money.
Well, wait a minute.
And I bet it's really hard to defend yourself. Like, say you were on the border of Mexico with thousands and thousands of immigrants coming across every day that you just couldn't stand and you wanted to get rid of. And drug lords and everything else that would just love to run into your cities and take over all your great real estate and have a base to ship to the United States from. But I bet it would be hard as heck to defend yourself if you had no standing army, navy, or air force, because when you leave the United States, that's America's, and it all goes away.
But what about the National Guard?
The nation's guard, it goes away. You see, there is nothing. There's a bunch of people sitting around going, "I'm from Texas."
The guns and those bullets is the Federals.
Yes. And that's, again, the stupidity of it all, besides the fact that, you know, you lose everything in the whole world and it's illegal to begin with. But even if you could magically do it, everything that is the United States goes away. And that means your great drones flying around the border, your airplanes.
Wouldn't that also mean you'd have to get a passport?
Federal protection, all those marshals, all those agencies that you hate, like the Border Patrol, it all goes away.
Well, wouldn't you have to get a passport, though?
An open desert between you and all of the Mexicans that you hate, and then they walk across. I mean, it's stupid. Anyway, it blows my mind.
I want to now, there was a major thing that I wanted to get to, and this is about, I was thinking about whether or not I should play the whole thing, but I need to play the whole thing so you can understand it in context. Lars O'Donnell the other day, and he came up with an excellent point that the NRA is full of shit. He didn't say that. I'm saying it. And the board members, there's a there's an excellent reporter who did a major thing in Mother Jones, a major research into the NRA for Mother Jones, and his name is Smite, and he found out some things about that the NRA membership doesn't even know who's running for the membership board of the NRA.
Yeah,
they keep the thing under wraps. He says it was a major feat for him to even find out who some of the board members are. They keep it secret.
Of course.
And he said it's run like a Gestapo, not even a Gestapo. It's run like the old Soviet Proletariat Bureau.
Right.
And because one of the members is Tom Selleck.
Oh.
14-year board member. And he asked Tom Selleck, he says he didn't know him that well, but he had met him, he talked to him, he said Tom Selleck is very nice, and he wanted Tom Selleck to come out against what the NRA said, especially about the president's two daughters.
Right.
Using them in a commercial. And they had some of these morons like Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity saying, Rush Limbaugh said that they were, Obama was using the kids as
human shields.
Human shields.
That was so insulting.
I mean,
again,
the
context
of that, Saddam Hussein.
Yeah, these terrorists and these thug lords overseas who would, you know, put women and children in the way of military so that they could.
So he said he gave Tom Selleck a chance. Said, look, please come on and please tell us.
Yeah, what would Magnum PI do?
Right. And he didn't hear from him. So last night, Lance O'Donnell blew up.
He called him out. Good.
So, did you see it? You see it?
Yep.
Well, for some of the people out there who didn't see it, if you want to call in all you gun-toting hippies and gun-toting neocons.
Hey, Mike, that might be
716-5242. You can call in after you hear everything. The first part is going to be Rosie O'Donnell when she had Tom Selleck on her show about 14 years ago. And then we're going to go into the piece with Lawrence O'Donnell.
But I think that the reason that people are so extreme against the NRA is because the NRA has such a militant strength, especially a power in Washington, to veto or to stronghold any sensible gun law. They have been against every sensible gun law until yesterday, including trigger law, so that children, which there are 500 a year that die, don't get it.
I'm not a spokesman for the NRA. In fact, all I can tell you is I was a member when I was a kid, as a junior NRA member. I learned firearm safety, and from what I see in the last 3 months, they don't do a lot of the stuff that you assume they do.
But you can't say that guns don't bear a responsibility. If the makers of the Tech 9 assault rifle, why would the NRA be against assault rifles? This is a gun that can shoot 5 bullets in a second. This is the gun that those boys brought into the school. Why the NRA wouldn't say, as a matter of compromise, we agree, assault rifles are not good.
I can't speak for the NRA.
But you're their spokesperson, Tom. So you have to be responsible for what they say.
I'm not a spokesperson.
But if you put your name out and say, I Tom Selleck.
I'm not a spokesperson. Remember how Tom said? You're questioning my humanity.
No, not your humanity. Oh. I think you're a very humane man.
Okay, I came on your show to plug a movie. That's what I'm doing here.
And that's
if
what we
think
did.
It's proper to have a debate about the NRA. I'm trying to be fair with you.
As I am trying
to. Absurd. You're calling me a spokesman for the NRA.
Tom, if you're a celebrity and you're doing an ad that says I am the NRA, then what should have been
have
the
you read the ad?
I have read the ad.
Good.
Did you read the ad?
I read what I said.
Okay. All right. Well, this has not gone the way that I had hoped that it had gone, but I would like to thank you for appearing anyway, knowing that we do have differing views. I was happy that you decided to come on the show, and if you feel insulted by my questions, I apologize because it was not a personal attack. I was meant to bring up the subject as it is in the consciousness of so many today. That was my intent, and if it was wrong, I apologize to you on a personal level.
It's your show, and you can talk about it after I leave, too.
Well, I thought I would give you an opportunity to discuss your side of it, which is what I hoped that I did. And if it was wrong, I'm sorry for that. All right, obviously, it didn't do much good. But The Love Letter is a great movie with Kate Capshaw.
I don't remember that movie. 10 years later, the ad spokesman for the NRA, who denied he was a spokesman for the NRA, Tom Selleck, who told Rosie in that interview, quote, "I don't hang out with people of the NRA." That same person who tried to disown the NRA right after Columbine, 14 years later, Tom Selleck is now a member of the board of the NRA. And so tonight, the time has come to do what Rosie O'Donnell refused to do 14 years ago, question Tom Selleck's humanity. Since then, a madman with unlimited access to guns, thanks to Tom Selleck's work with the NRA, killed 32 people and wounded 17 on the campus of Virginia Tech. He set the murder record for American gun massacres. Since then, a madman with unlimited access to guns, thanks to Tom Selleck's work with the NRA, killed six, including a 9-year-old girl, and wounded 13 in a shopping mall parking lot in Tucson, Arizona. That madman gunned down a member of Congress, Gabby Giffords, an NRA spokesman and board member. Tom Selleck didn't have a word to say about it. And since then, another madman with unlimited access to guns, thanks to Tom Selleck's work with the NRA, walked into a movie theater in Aurora, Colorado, and using a 100-round ammunition drum, managed to kill 12 people and wound another 58, thereby setting a new record for total number of people shot in an American gun massacre. And most recently, another madman with easy access to his mother's assault rifle and high-capacity ammunition magazines, thanks to Tom Selleck's work with the NRA to make those magazines available, shot and killed 20 first graders in Newtown, Connecticut, riddled their little bodies with bullets, and while he was at it, killed six of the women in that school, desperately trying to save those children's lives. And tonight, Tom Selleck, who has played a principled man on TV and in movies, Tom Selleck, the man who for 14 years has given his full support, first as a spokesman and then as a board member, to the industry lobbying group that has done everything it can every day to make sure that American mass murderers are the best equipped mass murderers in the world. That Tom Selleck has not had one word to say about what happened at Sandy Hook Elementary. And so, yes, it is time to question Tom Selleck's humanity. Is there anything in Tom Selleck's humanity that recoils at his blood-drenched organization using the president's daughters in their latest round of ugly propaganda? Is that okay with Tom Selleck? I don't believe it is. I really don't. I've met Tom. I've chatted with him. He seems like a good guy, a decent guy. But now we're going to find out. We're going to find out how brave Tom Selleck really is. We're going to find out who Tom Selleck really is. Does he have the courage to come forward and say, as a father himself, as a decent human being, that what the NRA did, what his organization did with the president's daughters, is unconscionable? Like the president, Tom Selleck has two kids. They're both adults now. We can all be absolutely certain that if I included their names in what I'm saying here, if I linked Tom Selleck's kids in any way to Tom Selleck's 14 years of work making sure that our mass murderers are so well equipped, that Tom Selleck would be beyond outraged. And he would have a right to that parental outrage. If, and only if, he shares this country's outrage with what the blood-drenched leaders of the NRA have done this week with the president's daughters. And so, yes, Tom, it's come to this. Now I'm doing what Rosie was careful not to do 14 years ago. I am questioning your humanity, and you are going to give us an answer one way or the other. You see, Tom, your continued silence will tell us. It will tell us you're just a man in makeup who plays brave men on TV. Your silence will prove who you really are. There's no way out of this now, Tom. This is your moment. You can see this. I know you can. This is actually the most important moment in your public life. You've been handed the greatest scene of your life, a real scene where no one else can write the words but you. You don't have to disown your philosophy about guns. You don't have to change your position on assault weapons or those huge magazine clips or any of the president's legislative proposals. But fundamental human decency demands that you step forward and, at a minimum, condemn what your organization has done this week in dragging the president's daughters into its propaganda campaign. If you do that, America will have the answer that we're all hoping for about your humanity. And if you don't, then we'll know who you really are. We will know that the clowns who wrote the words in that first ad you did for the NRA were absolutely right about you and said everything anyone will ever need to know about you. They said it in the last line of that ad. We'll know that you, Tom Selleck, really are the NRA.
Yes, we have. Grace's Porter.
Hey, Michael. You know, I have called
you,
in.
Grace?
I am just fine. I called in around about 3:20 because I wanted to listen to, I know you guys are always up to something. And I listened for a good 20 minutes, and that was good. It was good. You were talking, to, you know, you went through point by point. It was very, very, it was excellent. Really excellent.
Well,
and then following up and playing what Lawrence O'Donnell challenged, really, to Tom Selleck last night, was another good move on your part. So, congratulations and kudos.
With you on the line, Grace, we have our county commissioner, Dan Bass from Wake County.
Hey, how are you doing? How are you?
Dan Bessie. I'm fine, thank you. I hope that y'all are well. And by the way, Michael, it's city council. You've given me a promotion
city
here.
I'm sorry. Listen,
Michael has a tendency to promote people, whether they like it or not.
Right.
Listen, well, you should be. We can bring that. I'm glad both of you are here. Grace is normally here, Dan, and she provides us with I don't know if you heard any of the points we were making about the 23 executive orders that the president has issued, and a lot of them have to do with the state of mental health and issuing directives to have these people do what they're supposed to be doing.
Precisely. I have no idea what these crazy fools are worried about, talking about how he's going to come take their guns.
Nothing mentioned about the Second Amendment.
All he says, and anybody who can read, but there's the rub. Anyone who can read, okay, there's the rub. All right.
I was trying to make it that these 13 or so states, they really live in Munchkin land. I mean,
mm-hmm.
and that's who they're talking to. These regressive party people are talking to the little Munchkins in their communities that don't know anything but what's in their community.
It's
unbelievable.
I'll go a little further than that. They're talking to the little munchkin voices in their head. They need to take their medicine. They really need to take their medicine.
Talk about your mental health.
Talk about your mental health. I mean, do you really want these? You know, who's that radio host that went on Piers Morgan and just went berserk? Do you really want guns in the hands of that fellow? Holy cow.
Well, you know, we've had several of these people go on and threaten outright violence and uprising and murder if any sensible law was passed.
Well, yeah, it is just completely outrageous. But Dan, you're also on the board of the National Democratic Municipal Officials, is that correct?
That's right.
And have they met yet and talked about the gun issue at all?
we have not at DMO had a chance to meet since the horrible shootings in Newtown. But interestingly enough, another national board that I'm on, the board of directors for the National League of Cities, has met and did take up the issue of gun violence and will be speaking out in support of more aggressive action to deal with the, you know, frankly, the flood of weapons of war on our streets.
Mm-hmm. Hey, can I yeah. ask just for a second? You said a flood of weapons on the street. So you see, as a municipal leader, that this is a real issue and that, furthermore, it's a real danger?
I do. And unfortunately, it's one that can only be effectively addressed at the start of the problem at the national level. You can't simply pass an ordinance at the city level saying, you know, keep these weapons out of our city, because they can ride in over the city line in the trunk of thousands of cars. We need national action to stop the manufacture and sale of what are only legitimately usable as military weapons of war in the gun shows and on the streets of our country. Reduce the supply and will reduce the potential for, you know, horrible incidents like the massacre of children in Newtown, the massacre of high school students in Columbine, and the other you know, mass shootings using these weapons that have no legitimate civilian use, and the high-capacity ammunition clips that we simply don't need for any legitimate civilian usage.
Well, we have this area where we talk about that these weapons of war. And I heard one regressive party person saying, well, they're not really weapons of war. They were designed to shoot and kill more than one person at a time. So how many people do you think are going to break into your house and try to kill you and your family? Is it going to be an army? And if that's not the fact, you are used against a tyrannical government. Don't we understand that if SEAL Team 6 is coming after you, it doesn't matter how many guns you have in your house?
Yeah. You see, what is that? I mean, I just said this before. These guys, those little voices in their heads, they need to go back on their meds. Mm-hmm.
Well, two major issues for both of you, but I'll start with you. As you're a politician, I just want to be clear, because the NRA's position following Columbine, regrettably, they ran out, put up billboards, and had a gun show next to the school, and
mm-hmm.
they called then for Colorado to pass laws to arm every teacher, to flood the schools with guns. They've said this over and over, you know, if only the theater was full of guns, we could have protected people. Now after Newtown, they're doing it again, and they're even trying to get local municipalities across the country to pass laws or to start issuing guns to teachers and to other agencies. So just for clarity's sake, from a political point of view, is this what we should be doing? Should we be
absolutely
arming every
not.
Teacher and putting guns everywhere?
Absolutely
not. That's not going to solve the problem. What the NRA tries to gloss over is the fact that there were armed guards present at Columbine High School, at Virginia Tech, at the Fort Hood Army Base. That didn't stop the shootings there. The availability of increasing numbers of armed civilians in situations is not going to reduce gun deaths, and it's not going to prevent the kind of massacre that you get when someone with a 28 or 52-round magazine in a semi-automatic pistol or assault-style rifle is firing in an enclosed space. When you look at where the NRA's positions are coming from, you have to follow the money. And their money is coming from places like the arms manufacturers. It's my understanding that the NRA is even funded in part by an online ammunition sale gimmick. Now, the members, the individuals around the country who are, you know, in good faith believers in their right to defend themselves, their right to hunt, and they should be defending that, you know, may not realize that the paid leadership of their organization is in effect representing the interests of the arms manufacturing industry, not the interests of its membership.
Right. And so,
well, yes, and the thing is that was said that there are, which makes it so incredible, this guy, Frank Smyth, who's an investigative journalist, who did a major research on the NRA, and it seems that the members of the NRA, 70% of them, are against everything that the board members are doing. And some of these board members, this guy named George Catalis or something, he's right here in Madison, North Carolina. He's the one who owns Remington and the company that makes the Bushmaster AR-15. He's on the board. He says that he's not a paid member, and he has really nothing to give to the board. That why is he on the board? Okay, and you also have this person named Patricia Clark, who was the head of the nominating committee for the NRA. She lives in Newton, Connecticut. I mean, she lives there. You have these other people like I will say his name is Brownell. He is on the board. He manufactures high capacity magazines. He's on the board. So the board members who are creating the policy for the NRA, and of course we're talking about Tom Selleck, who's the face of the NRA, the spokesperson that is, these people are the ones that are making the information and putting the information out to the public. They're making the policy. And these people only have one thing in mind, to make money and to sell guns no matter what. And there's one thing I want you to hear, and but there is another voice out there that says how they can solve these problems of the gun violence. And I want you to hear.
Last Saturday.
Good evening, everybody. This is Archie Bunker of 704 Hauser Street, veteran of the Big War, speaking on behalf of Guns for Everybody. Now, question. What was the first thing that the communists done when they took over in Russia? Answer, gun control. And there's a lot of people in this country who want to do the same thing to us here in a kind of conspiracy, see. You take your big international bankers, they want to, masticate the people of this here nation like puppets on a wing. And then when they get that done, they train us over to the communists.
I'm glad they put you on a suit. You look tall and sitting down.
Now, I want to talk about another thing that's on everybody's mind today, and that's your stick-ups and your skyjackets, which, if that was up to me, I could end the skyjackets tomorrow.
You could?
All you got to do is arm all your passengers. He ain't got no more superiority there. He ain't going to dare to pull out no rod. And then your airlines, then they wouldn't have to chase the passengers on the ground no more. They just pass out the pistols at the beginning of the trip, and they pick them up again at the end. Case closed.
Now, it's as simple as that. We give every student that comes into the school a rod. And they put it right next to their ruler and pencils on the desk.
Yeah, carry it to lunch.
We shouldn't have a problem with people coming to the school and wanting to shoot up the school. I mean, do you think that's a mental health problem, Grace?
Well, you know, saying that the only way to protect people from shooting each other up is to have more guns is like saying the only way to prevent gonorrhea is to go out and have sex with everyone that has gonorrhea. I don't know. I mean,
I never thought about that.
Yeah.
I never said it that way.
I'm a health professional. You know, I think that way.
The gonorrhea argument.
Well, see, that reminds me of another. That reminds me. You're absolutely correct. Listen to this.
I hate that jerk on TV.
Oh, I get it. When you thought he was talking about VD and a permissive society, he was smart, huh? You find out he's talking about gun control, he's a jerk.
That's right, and I'm going to prove it to you. How many people in this U.S. of A would like to have guns?
So many,
thousands. But how many people would like to have VD?
That proves your point.
Yep, that proves Dr. Grace right.
Well,
in an odd confluence of events, I want to point out two things. One, just jokingly aside, this playing Archie Bunker when he's referencing the Soviet Union, cracked me up because it's sad because it's completely relevant today.
That's right.
No, but the governor of Mississippi has said that he is going to block federal law. Any kind of restriction on guns, and he said that people, and especially criminals, will be able to get all the guns and high-capacity clips that they need from the Soviet Union.
Right.
And so these laws won't work.
This
is showing the level that we're talking about, the level of stupidity.
I mean, you really, really, yes. So there again, it goes back to, can you read? And that goes back to the whole argument of let us dummy down our population because the dumber the people are, the more likely they are to vote against their own best interest.
But Dr. Grace, you're just not asking it right. He can read. It's just he couldn't read the Cyrillic alphabet on that stuff in your document.
Danny, you had mentioned to me when we were talking before about something that the Regressive Party is doing in Wake County about the guns in the park.
Actually, the county I'm more familiar with is Forsyth County, where Winston-Salem is located. And one of the local angles on this issue area is coming from what the Republican-controlled legislature did in the previous session. Before then, cities and towns in North Carolina had the authority to take what I think most of us would agree is a common-sense position, and that is prohibit the carrying of concealed guns in our city parks. In the previous session, the Republican-controlled General Assembly passed a new law saying, no, you can't do that anymore. You have to, cities and towns, allow concealed guns in your parks, except for certain limited areas like swimming pools and recreational facilities. Now, they didn't define what an athletic facility was. So that was left up to the cities and towns passing their own ordinances, if they chose to continue to restrict concealed weapons in our city parks as far as the law allowed us to do. And Winston-Salem passed a local ordinance saying, here's the authority that the state has at least continued to allow us in some degree to prohibit carrying concealed guns in these areas, we're going to apply that. And we defined athletic facilities to include what you think of, the basketball courts, the softball fields, but also to include the greenways and the bike trails where you have running races, you have people out biking and running and walking for exercise. There is a proposal that will be coming back to the General Assembly this year to take that authority away that they left us a couple of years ago. And there is an organization of gun enthusiasts that has sued Winston-Salem just in the past week, claiming that the local ordinance we passed was in excess of what the state law allows us to do. So that's playing itself out now, beginning to play itself out in the courts, and will play itself out, no doubt, in the legislature this year as well. Now, I ask my constituents earlier, you know, what do you think about our local city law in Winston-Salem saying that we don't allow concealed guns in parks to the maximum extent that the state let us do it? And the response that I got from my voting constituents was on the order of 15 to 1 in favor of keeping guns out of our parks. But you get the kind of reactions of fear from elected officials around the country to stand up for that kind of position, because despite the fact that most of the public and most of their voting constituents support common sense limits on guns, where they can be carried, what kinds of guns can be sold to civilians, the more vocal voices are coming from the small minority of folks who think that any common sense restriction on guns is bad. They're the ones that contribute to groups like the NRA, and they're the ones who write letters, who call their representatives. And so you've got an imbalance of people speaking up. If folks who are concerned, about this from the standpoint of reducing gun violence want to see action from their government, they need to speak up. They need to call their representatives in the state legislature and in Congress.
So, I also think it's ironic that the Republicans often cry about the evils of big government coming down and imposing laws on the locals who should be able to have their own laws and their own interpretation, except for when they want to do something. And then they come to your community and tell you that you can't do what you just were told to do by your constituency.
I just find that ironic.
Well, this is the thing now. Is this something you feel that if this law goes into effect, these laws go into effect, that it can hurt some of these people that have passed them at the voting box?
That's yet to be seen. Most folks, when they go to vote, vote on pocketbook issues. They vote on what they think is going to be in the best interest of their financial circumstances and their families. Most folks are not single-issue voters on the question of gun laws. So that's normally not what swings elections, but it certainly does swing a lot of public debate.
Okay, well, but you see, what's the old, and I don't remember who said it, about sacrificing your liberty for, sacrificing your liberty for
security.
For security. I mean,
it deserves
neither.
Yeah.
But if you don't have security, you don't have any pocketbook issues that you need to worry about, because they don't mean a thing unless you're going to build a fence around your house and have armed guns.
And a moat with
and a moat. I mean,
and
you,
this,
you, money doesn't mean anything if you have no security.
And in this case, I don't think there's any conflict between liberty and reasonable security measures.
Right.
Nobody that I'm talking with is even talking about the kind of radical notion of taking away all guns. We're only suggesting that there's no inherent right to civilian ownership of a tank a automatic machine gun. Why should there be?
Some of these people say yes. I can have that.
Well, you know,
we should show them back to the loony bin. there's no serious conversation that I know of suggesting that we should let folks trade in their Humvee for a tank rolling down Main Street.
They're saying it in Texas. Perry said it. Perry said there's no reason for you not to have any weapon for protection.
Well, let me also remind you.
But that's not what Anthony Scalia said.
Well, Anthony Scalia said about
there
Texas.
Is a limit.
That Texas is the place where under our other favorite governor, W., they passed laws allowing weapons everywhere.
Right.
And I mean everywhere. Concealed weapons in churches. You know, schools, anywhere they want them. And at the same time, and this is one of my favorite examples of this big government, small government, rights versus lunacy that they come up with, they absolutely allow you to have a gun anywhere in the state for any reason. But they restricted the sale of, possession of, or use of any form of sexual aids or devices.
Well, yes.
So, you know, you can Glock it, but there's no vibrators on that Glock, I'm just saying. But this is the kind of lunacy that comes out of Texas.
We see now goes over the fence, sort of Grace, on the health side of this. We're looking at these 23 executive orders here. And it calls for
this common sense.
Common sense things to have the health insurance portability and accountable act to be involved in information that you need to do a background check. I mean, it also calls for
basic stuff.
For the release of a letter to state health officials clarifying the scope of mental health services that Medicaid plans
to cover.
I mean, it also calls for a memorandum directing the Center of Disease Control to do research on the causes and prevention of gun violence. I mean, how important a piece is the mental health portion of what we need to do along with the guns? Grace? Nope, we lost Grace.
Oh, no.
Yeah, we lost Grace. Oh
well, let me just say one thing, right, about this, because I was going to ask Grace about this right afterwards. Maybe she'll call back. But on that, I think we're getting what we pay for. We're getting what we invest in. I think what we're seeing is the results of short-sighted, poor policies. We, during the Reagan years, destroyed federal mental health system. You know, we used to have a pretty functional, pretty robust system, even though it had plenty of problems. But he got rid of that, dumped all those people in the street, cut off funding for it. And since then, what have we seen? We've seen a flood of people that have mental health issues acting out in public. And half the time, it's benign. They're just that lunatic, hobo on the corner that's always panhandling and getting in people's way and, you know, talking to himself. And that's kind of annoying when you're trying to go make money on Wall Street. You have to step right over them. But the other side of it is you get school violence. We get attacks in places by people who are mentally disturbed. We have an immensely high, very sad suicide rate amongst our soldiers because they can't get help. You know, there's no counseling. There's nothing
nothing for anyone. There's no funding for it. So I think we're getting what we paid for because we haven't paid for any of it. We haven't invested in mental health, and we're seeing the results now, just like we're seeing the results of canceling the assault weapons ban, and now we're seeing the whole string of shootings with assault weapons.
Right.
I mean, we, you know, it's, hey, look, it's the results we get.
Well, the thing is, how important, Dan, if we can get a hold of Grace and see if she can call back, how important is the mental health portion of this?
Well, certainly it's critical to the overall health of society. I would not be one to make the argument that improving our mental health care is a substitute for common sense restrictions on what are, in effect, individually carried weapons of mass destruction. But there are independent reasons why we need a good mental health care system. And, of course, it is contradictory to hear some of the voices that are opposing common sense gun limits, then in almost the same breath arguing for better mental health care and turning around the next afternoon and saying, we're not going to take this additional Medicaid assistance from the federal government, because then, you know, we would have to 1 year fund keeping keeping health care available to hardworking folks who don't get paid enough to afford it on the open market.
Right. Well, see, and that, so what you're saying is, in other words, Ronald Reagan is the one that killed the mental health positions that we have in this country when he came into office. But what you're actually saying is that, hey, they're complaining that we don't have enough resources to do with mental health, but yet they don't want to get the funding to put into mental health.
Yeah, I would say that if you're taking the position that what we need to do to respond to gun violence is improve our mental health care, then you ought to be arguing at the same time that we better be sure that all the states take that extra Medicaid assistance that's coming their way from the federal government and put that to work, you know, helping ensure that basic physical and mental health care is available to folks who are out working hard every day but who don't earn enough in their hardworking jobs to afford private health insurance.
Mm-hmm. Well, there are, as a matter of fact, a few people. As a matter of fact, we got Grace coming right back up here. Yes, we missed you. I just want to ask you a question, and you got dropped. Tell us, in these 23 orders, Grace, where in here? I mean, is it in the ones that I read about the president says that he wants to have a full background check on people that might have a health problem relating to the Affordability Act to prevent states from making information available on background checks, to clarify the Affordable Care Act and does not prohibit doctors from asking patients about guns in their house. I mean, how important is the medical end of this, the mental and the medical end of this, tie in with the gun the gun program, the gun problem?
Well, okay, so here's the thing. Okay, doing a background checks are important. We need to have them. We need to have them whether you buy a gun at a gun store, at a store, or whether you buy it at a gun show. They need to be licensed. Because it's the same as a car. When you buy a car, you've got to have a license to drive the car. All right? Not only do you have to have a license to drive it, but you've got to pass a test to get that driver's license. And then every so often, you need to get your license renewed. And if you have any problem, you know, anything on your record, like you're speeding or you have any problems with your driving, you get tickets, right? And that shows up on your driving record.
He like you're blind.
Right. This is the same thing. What is the problem? I don't understand. If you need a license to drive a car, you should have a license to shoot a gun. You should have training to shoot a gun. You should have some kind of background check to make sure that, you know, that you're not someone that has a record that is a criminal, you know, that is going to, you don't put a gun, you don't put a car in the hands of a person who is crazy, and you don't put a gun in the hands of somebody who's crazy. You just don't do that. Not
well,
a crime,
you know,
for society anyway. Yeah, not a responsible society. We have to make it difficult for people who have malicious intent to get a gun. We have to. Now, these guys were screaming about their Second Amendment rights. No one's trying to take their guns away. I have guns. My husband and I both have guns. Okay, we have shotguns, we have skeet guns, we've got, we have guns. But
you got an AK-47?
No.
AR-15?
Well,
M16?
No, we used to. When we were in Southeast Asia, we had access to all of those things, but not anymore.
So you mean to tell me, you had it when you were over getting shot at Southeast Asia?
Yeah, exactly. So they were weapons of mass destruction.
I thought you only needed it to take home.
They are weapons of mass destruction, let's face it, because you can kill a number of people with it. All right? So, yeah, they're weapons of mass destruction. Now, as much as I don't like what General McChrystal, for the way he disrespected President Obama, he was spot on when he said, look, these weapons belong in the hands of the military. They do not belong in the hands of anybody. You know, they don't. I respect the military. The military they are our protectors. And we need to give them all of the advantages that are necessary. The police are our protectors. We need to give them all the advantages that are necessary to protect us. Our firefighters are our protectors. We need to help them. So we need to make sure that if we don't have any gun laws, okay, we are actually putting the people who protect us at a disadvantage. And
why
do we want to do that?
This is absolutely true. Now, just listen to this for a minute.
General, I want to ask you a bit more about the Rolling Stone article. But first, we have Mayor Bloomberg coming up, and one of his big issues is guns. And I'm just wondering, curious, does assault weapons like the Bushmaster have a place in our society here in America? What is your position, especially given the recent events?
Yeah, I spent a career carrying typically either an M16 and then later an M4 carbine. And an M4 carbine fires a .223 caliber round, which is 5.56 millimeter, at about 3,000 feet per second. When it hits a human body, the effects are devastating. It's designed to do that. And that's what our soldiers ought to carry. I personally don't think there's any need for that kind of weaponry on the streets, and particularly in around the schools in America. I believe that we've got to take a serious look. I understand everybody's desire to have whatever they want, but we've got to protect our children, we've got to protect our police, we've got to protect our population, and I think we've got to take a very mature look at that.
So we're talking about background checks, we're talking about banning certain types of assault weapons, we're talking about trying to reduce the number of these guns and the ammunition that feeds them in our society. First of all, do you think that's possible? And would you support legislation? Would you, I don't know, go around the country and actually be very vocal about this?
I think serious action is necessary. Sometimes we talk about very limited actions on the edges, and I just don't think that's enough. I think we'll find out.
What's your message?
Now, this is what... Just what you said, Grace, the general says he carried it, and it doesn't belong on the street.
They do not belong in our streets. We cannot let this debacle, this massacre, this horrible incident that happened in Newtown, we cannot let that pass. We have to. I mean, you know, if there is any wake-up call in the nation, this is our wake-up call. This is our wake-up call that... As responsible parents and as responsible adults, we have to protect our children. It's more than lip service anymore. Okay, if we will immunize our children, if we will make sure our kids have vaccinations to protect them, then we need to do something. This 11 gunshot wounds in a child, that's uncalled. I can't even believe it. I cannot fathom it. And I have seen, mind you, I'm a creature of you know, I've been in wars. I have seen people being shot up. I worked in an emergency room. I've seen, you know, the Richmond gun and knife club and the results of that. But I never thought I would live to see the day where I would hear 11 bullet wounds in a child.
And the vice president addressed that very same issue just yesterday.
High-capacity magazines don't have a practical sporting purpose or hunting purpose. As one hunter told me, if you got 12 rounds, it means you've already missed the deer 11 times. You should pack the sucker in at that point. You don't deserve to have a gun, period. You're that bad.
I mean, back in June 10th, 1999, a major conservative, William Sapphire from the New York Times, had an interview with then-president, about 20 years earlier, with then-president, 1979, with Richard Nixon. And he asked Nixon about gun control. Nixon said, on the record, guns are an abomination. Free from fear of gun owners' retaliation at the polls, he would favor making handguns illegal and requiring licenses for hunting rifles.
Well, you know, not only that, as much as I can, Nixon was a Republican. The first George Bush was also a Republican, and he pulled his membership from the NRA, his lifetime membership of the NRA, because of their unconscionable act. And if you look at Junior, okay, Bush Junior, as much as I don't like him and didn't like him, he actually made sense when he talked about gun control and he talked about, you know, background checks. He made sense. So what I'm just at a loss for words to try to figure out what is going on in the minds of these people that insist. The semi-automatics are necessary in their closet, in their gun safe, so that they can go shoot. My last word here, because I do have to run, the last thing that I need to say is if you need a dead-gun semi-automatic gun to go shoot a deer, then you are a terrible, terrible shot. Lousy.
I wouldn't go so far as personally to support a ban on handguns or registration of real hunting rifles, but I do think that there is a very clear difference. It's easy for anybody to see between the kind of handgun that I was taught to shoot on as a kid,
right.
a 22 revolver, and the kind of handgun that the Columbine High School killers, for example, carried in to that high school with a 52-round magazine, a 9mm semi-automatic. Yeah, there's no legitimate civilian use for that mass murder weapon, and those should be banned from our streets.
Absolutely.
Well, you
look, this is one thing that the general said earlier, and I think it ties in exactly with Dr. Grace. He said two key things. He said maturity in that talk, and they can't have everything they want. And I think you're talking about the difference between having a mature discussion, and it's like the difference between an adult and a child. Just because there are all these toys in the world, it doesn't mean that you get to have all of them. And just because there's every form possible of machine gun and handgun and high-capacity clips and armor-piercing, Teflon-coated, whatever the heck you want, doesn't mean that you can have it.
Well, you know,
and there's no legitimate use at all. But if we had an actual adult conversation and actual adult laws, it would take care of that.
Well, it's what Dan, you were saying before about that people need to speak up. There are people who just, you know, it's not bothering me. I don't get involved. You know, one of the things is, so therefore, the nut jobs are the ones that take over like these.
Yeah, I'm telling you that if that happens, it's going to spark a civil war, and I'll be glad to fire the first shot.
I unfortunately believe that there are many people in this country that will want to bring on a civil war. And in that scenario, the people will lose.
Without our rights under the Second Amendment, removing the rest of our Bill of Rights would be a lot easier.
Once we lose the Constitution, we're losing it big. What's left? I mean, how do we keep these people in check?
1776 will commence again if you try to take our firearms.
All low-rated right-wing talkers begging for an audience and attention. Glenn Beck, you going to sell some more subscriptions on that one? A lot of this...
Now, you see, here's the thing. Those are the people. It's like, the squeaky wheel gets all the oil.
Yeah.
I mean,
did you want to play that? Don't you have that clip of James Yeager?
I wanted to play just thinking what George W. Bush said about the assault weapons.
I did think we ought to extend the assault weapons ban. We were told the fact that the bill was never going to move because Republicans and Democrats were against the assault weapon ban, people of both parties. Now, I believe law-abiding citizens ought to be able to own a gun. I believe in background checks at gun shows or anywhere to make sure that guns don't get in the hands of people that shouldn't have them.
So we're going to hear from George Bush.
Yeah, it's just sensible.
It's sensible. It is complete sensible. The thing is, I grew up in the city. I didn't have a gun. I haven't used a gun. We had Doberman pinchers. The problem is, though, I have nothing against people that have guns. But I don't call an AK-47 or an AR-15 a gun. That's a different category. And as someone who's been in the military and has fired M16, was an expert, dude, that's an assault rifle. That is not a gun. I claim 32 is a gun, 22 is a gun, 45 is a gun.
Ye old six shooter.
Yeah, I mean, hey, now they got the Glocks. But what do you have Glocks for? Because it carries more ammunition.
Yeah, it's the only reason.
Only reason. And as a matter of fact, you remember the old James Bond series, M used to get on Bond for carrying a Walther PPK. He said, because it jams. He was almost killed one time with it. Yeah, six shooters don't jam. Glocks jam. So, you know, people use, and I don't know if you were on the air when I was talking about this, Dan, but a lot of these guys want these big guns is because they don't feel adequate enough. I really believe they do not feel adequate enough. And there's nothing wrong. A hunter can go out with a shotgun and get what he wants. Bow and arrow, rifle. I mean, these are hunters.
Yeah. Now, this whole argument, it's nothing to do with hunting. Everybody knows it's nothing to do. You can't eat meat that you've shot 60 times. It's got so much lead contamination in it. Anyway, it's ridiculous, right? It's absolutely ridiculous. Everybody knows what they are. They're weapons of mass destruction. They always have been, always will be. And it's just a BS argument. There's nothing to do with hunting. And so that's why they fall back on that secondary defense. Oh, it's to protect Grandma and my wife from the intruding rapist or whatever. You know, they come up with some outlandish scenario that they must have 30 rounds in the clip so that they can blast a hole in the bedroom door.
Well,
come on.
That's what the representative, I don't know if the representative, New York was saying that he is
Steve Katz.
Yeah, Katz.
Assemblyman. He's going to arm his wife.
He's going to arm his wife.
Yeah, well, he might get caught coming through the door if he doesn't want down.
Yeah, you're right.
He might start out of a
dream. Now, I don't know if you know the statistics or heard the statistics, the statistics, Dan, that if you have a gun in the house, it's almost a 45% chance that gun is going to be used on you at one time or another.
I have read articles discussing the increased risk of having guns in your home. You know, quite frankly, if you're looking at the statistics, that increases your danger of being shot, not decrease it. I personally don't have any problem with somebody choosing to take the risk of having a reasonable home defense weapon in their house.
No.
And if that makes them feel more secure, that's okay. But I think that what we need today are folks, voters with common sense, to call their representatives in the legislature and in Congress and say, you know, like I did. I was taught to shoot as a boy by my father, who was a Marine marksman, and my mother, who was a better pistol shot than he was. And I understand the difference between the shotgun that I learned to hunt with and the revolver that I learned to target shoot with and a weapon of mass destruction, a 9mm semi-automatic handgun with a 52-round chamber, and you, as my representative, should understand that too.
Absolutely correct. You're absolutely correct. And I agree with you 100%. I am not against anybody carrying a concealed weapon or having a gun in the house for their own protection, but I am against ordinary people carrying assault weapons or having an assault weapon. It is not necessary.
Right.
And I can't remember where I saw it at. They said, and I just saw this, heard it, and read about it, where there is if you're breaking into a house, you're better off having a handgun than an assault weapon, particularly if the other person has an assault weapon, because they can't maneuver like you can. So
in a room in close quarters.
That's right. Close quarters.
It's made for a theater of war. Outdoors.
It's meant for a theater of war outside, not inside the house. So, you know, I'm glad we've had this much time with you, Dan. I know you're very busy. But the thing is that, how can we get through? What do we need to do to get through to our representatives and not be just lackadaisical? And because being lackadaisical has got us in the position now where the Progressive Party controls the House in North Carolina, both the House, the Congress, the whole Congress, and the governorship. Because we were lackadaisical and didn't get out and vote.
Yeah. And how can we just get
you're right, Michael. I do need to go, and I appreciate you having me on. But just as a parting thought, you are absolutely right that we have too many extreme voices in our elected bodies now, because the moderate majority didn't speak up, didn't turn out to vote, and isn't calling their representatives and letting them know what they think. And they need to start doing that. They need to turn out to vote. They need to support candidates who represent their views, common sense views on things like reasonable common sense gun restrictions. And they need to be calling their representatives this year, letting them know what they want them to do. But thanks for the chance to.
Okay, but before you go, if people want to speak to you, how can they get a hold of you? You have an email address, a phone number, they can get a hold of you at your office?
They do. They can check the Winston-Salem City website, and it will have both my my phone number and my email address. And they're welcome to contact me.
All right. I thank you.
Thank you very much.
You're honorable Dan Bass. Thank you very much.
Now, look, I think he has a very, very important point, and that is, and I hear this a lot of times from, you know, my liberal friends, is they don't.
You got liberal friends?
Yeah, a few. They don't think that they have, you know, they don't like the screamers. They don't like the outrageous, outlandish, in-your-face nastiness and aggression of some people with their opinions. They, you know, they act like normal people and keep their opinions
normal
to themselves.
People?
And they also don't think that you have to point out the obvious, and you don't have to point out the sensible. Like, there shouldn't be an argument about weapons of mass destruction in the hands of normal people. You know, there shouldn't be these kinds of arguments that the Republicans like to have nowadays. They think that you can just get by and everything will be okay because everybody has common sense.
Well,
but the problem is they don't.
Wait a minute. Listen to this. Ooh.
Lies. He was no different from any other officer in the wardroom. They were all disloyal. I tried to run.
They were all disloyal. All of them. Okay.
But see, this is what, I mean, to get to his point, I want to reiterate to people, even though it seems obvious, and you think,
can't use those big words. This is,
I know.
This is Munchkin land.
Well,
please, can you dumb it down a little bit?
I want normal people to speak up. I want the average person to talk to their representative and just say, we can have sensible common sense laws. We can have sensible restrictions. You know, you can have 10 rounds. You don't have to have 50 rounds in a clip or whatever. You know,
or 100 round drum.
Yeah, 100 round drum. That's insanity. Why would that ever be needed for anything? There aren't even that many rabbits. That's what's ridiculous.
What is going
on? You know, and so the point is, though, when we don't speak up and when we don't get our voice heard, things like this happen. These laws get changed, and these people that are extremists, they get their way. They get in office. They get their representatives. They get their voices heard because we're being the silent majority. We're being the people that think, oh, everybody would do this. This is normal.
Well,
and we don't think it's going to make a difference. But that's that lackadaisical attitude.
Well,
it needs to change.
You need to hear. This is one lackadaisical person you need to hear.
Hi, this is Jim Jagger for Tactical Response, and I'm kind of mad right now. I just got a news update. Today is the 9th of January, 2013, that Vice President Biden is asking the President to bypass Congress and use executive privilege, executive order, to ban assault rifles, to impose stricter gun control. Fuck that. I'm telling you that if that happens, it's going to spark a civil war, and I'll be glad to fire the first shot. I'm not putting up with it. You shouldn't put up with it. And I need all you patriots to start thinking about what you're going to do. Load your damn mags. Make sure your rifle's clean. Pack a backpack with some food in it and get ready to fight. I'm not fucking putting up with this. I am not letting my country be ruled by a dictator. I'm not letting anybody take my guns. If it goes one inch further, I'm going to start killing people.
I'm going to start killing.
Now that's the man who never served in this man's army. He worked with Blackwater, some stupid program, and he says he was in Iraq, but he's got tattoos all up and down his arms. I guess that's how strong he is. But, you know, that's what he said on the 9th.
You know what we call those people, though? They're mercenaries.
Well,
those are people who are hired to murder people.
Yeah, but his little things only got big. That's why I use that big gun.
If you fire a lot of blanks, Michael, you might need a big man.
Let me tell you, 5 hours after he said that, the state of Tennessee took away his concealed permit and said, this man does not give you a certificate for handling a weapon. He is not certified.
So now he's not a certified gun trainer.
This is what he said after that, the next day.
I said some pretty volatile stuff, which I apologize for. I do not in any way advocate the overthrowing of the United States government, nor do I condone any violent actions towards any elected officials. It's not time to shoot anybody. It is time to do is to organize politically, contact our elected officials, and help steer the ship the direction that we want it to go.
Well, oh, gee whiz. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Please forgive me. I'm only a punk.
Let me clarify a few things that really make me angry. One, let's just say real quick, this guy, James Yeager, he's the CEO of Tactical Response, which is Blackwater Jr.
Right.
And the reason he's running the company here is because, remember, Blackwater, as soon as someone turned the light on and saw the big roach in the room,
they scattered.
Yeah, because they didn't want any possible investigations or accountability to the law of the United States of America, so they fled the country and relocated.
And where are they now?
Where are they?
Dubai?
Gutter or Bahrain or somewhere. You know, they have their headquarters now in the middle of the Persian Gulf because they went to a country where they couldn't be extradited. And they couldn't.
But they also coughed up a bunch of money.
Of course. And they don't have any accountability to the laws. Okay? And that's very important. I want you to understand something because of what he says. And this is the stuff that infuriates me with these people. It's the pretend patriotism. Do you hear him say that word, like the capital P? All you patriots.
Right, all you patriots.
Load your mags.
Load your and pack a lunch.
Pack a lunch. But look, this is, it's 1776. We're going to overthrow America. We're going to do this. This is, they are virulently anti-American. They're insurgents. They are, what in other places?
Al-Qaeda.
Terrorism, yes.
They're Al-Qaeda.
They are. In the guise of saying that we have to overthrow America to save America. We have to kill the president to save the president.
No, we have to overthrow America so we can have our own government.
Yeah, I mean, that's what, no, to save the government, we got to kill it all, I don't understand.
We don't want to save the government, we want to kill the government.
Patriotism. These people are anti-American.
Well,
it's just like I've said Sarah Palin and her ilk, all of her family, they're secessionists.
Well, it's just like
Perry, the governor of Texas, secession from the country. He's saying, I'm a patriot, so I'm going to secede from America.
Right.
That's not patriotism.
I don't know what the branches of government I want to get rid of, but here's a senator.
You don't start killing
a senator of yours
to protect people.
Saying the same thing along those lines.
I'm against having a king. I think having a monarch is what we fought the American Revolution over. And someone who wants to bypass the Constitution, bypass Congress, that's someone who wants to act like a king or a monarch. I've been opposed to executive orders, even with Republican president, but one that wants to infringe on the Second Amendment, we will fight tooth and nail. And I promise you there'll be no rock left unturned as far as trying to stop him from usurping the Constitution.
And when you ask them where in the executive orders is he usurping anything, they say, well, that's not the important thing. Well, we didn't bring it up. You did.
Yeah, you're the one who said it. I mean, flat out. You used the words. And again, this, interview, I mean, he repeatedly says king. He says all this kind of, we're fighting against the monarchy. We're just saying, this. This is Rand Paul, by the way. Rand, the
love child of
Ayn Rand. I don't know what he is. I don't even think he's a. I don't know what he is. I don't even care. My problem with this again. These are the same people. Remember, this is one that cracked me up so much.
But these people, they use words when they don't even know what they mean. They change and contort and distort everything.
Well,
so patriotism becomes...
He is so dumb that he doesn't know what he's saying, or he knows he can use these words because the people who listen to him are so dumb, they don't know what he's saying.
Well, in his case...
Or the combination of both.
In his case, a little bit of both. Now, in his case, he is shrewd enough that, you know, this guy, he's using the Tea Party, you know, because he's really just a Ayn Randian libertarian kind of guy. But the Tea Party was the movement du jour that had money behind it. So he attached himself to it. So he pretends to be a Tea Party guy. But he's really running for the Paws. And the Paws are their own kingdom.
Yeah.
You know, that's what they want. They hate the government altogether. They're the ones that have years. They don't want taxes. They don't want a federal government at all. They don't want any agencies. You remember they were going to, if Ron Paul got in, you remember what he said? Act one, we're going to abolish all the agencies of the government and the Federal Reserve and everything else. Okay, so this is, again, anti-Americanism. It's Paulism. You know, we won't even say it's Rand. You know, don't want to besmirch the little Russian immigrants' philosophy. We've moved beyond, you know, objectivism. This is
Soviet.
This is meism. You know. So these guys. It is funny. You ever, you know that little thing about people call people what they are and say people do what they do. You know, this is a guy going, "We got to stand up to the king." And the next line is, "Vote Rand Paul, 2016." I heard this message because that's what he's saying, right? I mean. It just makes me, it infuriates me. But these are the people. Look, there was who was the guy just the other day talking about, you know, since Obama's gone in, they've done this repeatedly. They always claim that, you know, he's a socialist, he's a communist, he's a you know, fascist, he's everything under the sun, all at once.
Steel crack.
Right? But just the other day, one of these fools said that his, it was the guy that's the head of Whole Foods. That's the
yes.
So he every couple of months he comes out with a statement, embarrasses himself, hurts his bottom line, and has to clarify and all that.
Right.
But anyway, his latest one was he said that the terrible socialist agenda of Obama with health care and putting in, he said it is what I love. It was redefining capitalism as fascism. So we've got a socialist agenda in healthcare that is fascist, which these definitions do not match. They're in fact opposites. And that Obama's capitalism was fascism. You know, I was just like, I was sitting there looking at the guy like, holy cow, I can't believe.
You know, we did a show on this one, so we need to do it again.
Yeah, we did.
On the words.
Freaking
definition. Fascism, socialism,
you know,
capitalism.
And to give Dr. Grace her point, it gets back to, you know, literacy. People who can read and people who can't. Just for the record, people, there's no such thing as your facts and my facts.
No.
And you've got your definition. No. There is a fact. And things like words have definitions. They have meanings. And you can't just interchange them randomly. You can't have president and king. You can't have socialist fascism. You know, you can't have all those things.
But what about the people? They have this guy who's chair of Gun Appreciation Day.
Oh.
Which is going to take place the same day as the president's swearing in.
Oh, yeah.
On Martin Luther King's birthday.
I hope for our sake that he uses one of those bullet hole fonts.
Well,
and he goes, gun appreciation.
Well, here's the thing. There was an interview that Reverend Al did with the chair of Gun Appreciation Day. And it's a little bit long, but it is insightful.
And we mean that as
you
a
need to hear
insight by this.
Joining me now is Larry Ward, chairman of the Gun Appreciation Day campaign. Thanks for coming on the show tonight.
Hey, thanks for having me, Reverend.
Now, so often in this debate, it seems like gun control advocates and opponents don't talk to one another. So I'm kind of looking forward to our conversation.
Me too.
I want to read something you said about why we need Gun Appreciation Day. You said, quote, "We decided that the politicians have forgotten how Americans feel about their guns, and it's time to remind them." How have politicians forgotten how people feel about their guns, Larry?
Well, you know, there's a lot of talk about gun control. You know, we this Gun Appreciation Day, just so we're clear, is not in reaction to the shooting in Newtown. It's in reaction to the reactions in terms of the legislation that's being introduced into Congress, Senator Feinstein's bill, and President Obama and Joe Biden's comment that they guaranteed sweeping gun control legislation by the end of the month.
But you can appreciate guns without appreciating magazines that shoot 100 rounds and appreciating automatic weapons and semi-automatic weapons. You don't. You're talking about legislation that clearly talks about certain types of weapons, certain type of magazines, not all guns. Let's not distort what the legislation is saying.
Well, in Dianne Feinstein's bill, in the summary that I've read, you know, she lists handguns as you know, handguns that are semi-automatic, which are the majority of handguns that are sold in this country, in her proposed legislation. So, you know, we are talking about, you know, the guns that people use on a regular and everyday basis to defend their homes and to defend their families.
Well, it hasn't been introduced yet. We don't know what the final bill will say, but let's just cut to the chase. Are you supporting on Saturday, on Gun Appreciation Day, automatic weapons and magazines that go with 30 to 100 rounds? Is that part of Appreciation Day?
Well, you know what? I believe that right now, any ban on a semi-automatic weapon would not have changed the outcome of what happened in Newtown. It would not have changed the outcome of what happened in Aurora. We have so many laws in the books right now for gun control. We have I think close to 20,000 laws in the country, and those 20,000 laws, they failed in Aurora, they failed in Newtown, and they failed, quite frankly,
about banning the semi-automatic weapons and the magazines. I'm asking you again, will you be supporting that on Saturday on Gun Appreciation Day?
Absolutely. It's part of the Second Amendment.
Second Amendment. The Second Amendment gave you the right to bear arms. There were no magazines shooting 100 rounds, and there were no automatic weapons when the Second Amendment was written, Larry.
Well, the Second Amendment is clear. The Founding Fathers, you know, wrote a lot about this, and they wrote that the Second Amendment is for three purposes: to defend oneself and one's property, to defend the country in case of foreign invasion, and defend, against a potential government that would turn on its people.
Yeah, but you could say that I should have the right to have a nuclear weapon if you want to just leave it open there. The Second Amendment didn't address the specifics of what we're dealing with today. But let me ask you something else.
Let me address that real quick. Here's how I feel about that argument, because quite frankly, last few times I've been on MSNBC, I flubbed that question. I had to think about it quite a bit. I believe that issue of, you know, can rocket launchers, should we have nuclear bombs, should we have this? I believe that any weapon that the United States government engages its citizens with should be open for the citizens to be able to buy and protect themselves from.
Including rockets and nuclear bombs.
Well, they don't, you know, we don't engage, the United States doesn't engage its citizens with rockets and nuclear bombs. They engage them with weapons, assault rifles.
And if they decide not to engage them with assault weapons or magazines, it would be the same as not engaging them as nuclear bombs. So I think we're going to run out of time.
Sure.
You've got a lot of attention for something you said Friday on CNN. When you asked about holding Gun Appreciation Day the weekend before Dr. Martin Luther King Day, let's listen to what you said.
I believe that Gun Appreciation Day honors the legacy of Dr. King. I think Martin Luther King would agree with me, if he were alive today, that if African Americans had been given the right to keep and bear arms from day one of the country's founding, perhaps slavery might not have been a chapter in our history.
Now, first of all, Larry, you do realize Martin Luther King was killed by a gun, and that he preached all of his life against the use of any weapons and preached turn the other cheek. So you do realize what you said was the total antithesis to Dr. King. I don't know how much you know about Dr. King.
Of course, I do. I know quite a bit.
So then why would you say that you think he would support you?
Well, you know, not only do I stand by my statement that Martin Luther King would gun appreciation day honors the legacy of Martin Luther King, but also the entire civil rights movement. You know, we have the great Ida B. Wells said a Winchester rifle should be in a place of honor in every black home.
No. Wait a minute. We're talking about Martin Luther King weekend. Monday's right. Martin Luther King Day. You stated he would be supportive. You just admitted that you know he was against violence. He preached turn the other cheek. He was killed by. How can you distort Dr. King?
He also went for a gun permit and was turned down by...
And he also said that he's glad he was and that he never would carry a gun again and refused to carry a pistol. Finish the story.
Sure. Well, here's what I believe. I believe that Dr. King, you know, fought for equal opportunity. And we look at cities like Chicago and New York that have a majority of minorities in it right now. And those cities... themselves do not grant the same access, the same equal opportunity that perhaps somebody in Texas would have to defend themselves.
But Dr. King was against violence. Do you understand how despicable it would be to members of his family that saw their father killed by gunfire for you to say that you are in some way continuing his legacy on King Weekend by doing Gun Appreciation Day when he preached against that and died from a bullet wound? Then to say that there wouldn't have been slavery if slaves had the right to gun. Slaves didn't have any rights. They didn't have
well,
the right
exactly
to
right.
marry. They didn't have the right to name their children after them. Why would they have rights to guns? And in fact, when there were insurrections, and there were many, let me show you, there were insurrections, they were all put down violently. Are you aware of there were the 1811 rebellion in two parishes near New Orleans, 1816 rebellion in Fort Blount, Florida, 1831 rebellion led by Nat Turner in Virginia. There were slave rebellions, all of them put down, but the fact that Africans were brought here against their will and made slaves, it was not like they had an option of any right, including wages. So, I mean, either you don't know the history of slavery and understand the nuances, or you were just dealing in some hype. I mean, why you would even think to bring up Dr. King and slavery in the context of your position. You have the right to your position, but
sure.
we have the right to different opinions, but we don't have the right to change facts.
Look, the fact is that gun ownership is a civil right. It's a civil right for every American to be able to defend themselves. And currently, I believe that the civil right is not being equally equally treated amongst everyone in America. The people in Chicago, the people in New York, the people in Washington, D.C., they don't have the same rights as granted by the Constitution as other people in the country to defend.
So then why don't we give them all equal rights of having gun control? We all have the right now to ride the front of the bus. It doesn't mean that I can go on the bus and drive the bus. It doesn't. The right to bear arms doesn't mean you have the right to bear any arm and to bear magazines and to bear automatic weapons.
You made a point earlier. If the United States, in my opinion, this is just me, if the United States wanted to ban assault weapons, well, the government should go first and turn in all of their assault weapons and that they engage the American people.
So citizens should have the rights that the government has for military.
I didn't say for military. I said what they engage people in the United States.
So, but you're saying the government should go first. The government should disarm automatic weapons before they do it for the citizens.
Before they ask the citizens to disarm, yes.
They should do it first, the government.
Yes.
All right. You're going to preach that Saturday for Gun Appreciation Day. Just wanted to make sure I was clear because I might miss your speech Saturday.
I need to tell you.
Absolutely insane.
Look, can you see?
Wow.
Here's the thing. These people, they have been saying these outrageous things so long. But you say it in, as Mitt Romney, you say, in quiet rooms.
Yeah.
So only their people heard these words.
And then they were muffled by the pillowcases over their heads.
Now they feel, since we have a black president, they now feel that they can go out and say it to anybody because there's more of us out there than there is of those people out there, and we need to get those people on our side so we can say these things because These things are true, aren't they?
It's insanity.
I mean, what the man said makes no sense whatsoever.
Yes.
Nothing he said makes sense.
No. I mean, it just starting with the whole, pacifist for guns concept that he was promoting there.
I mean, are you kidding me?
Somehow, because you're talking to a black host.
Right.
And you're going to do the insulting thing about putting a gun show during an assassination remembrance day or whatever. It's kind of like when you show up at Columbine with a gun show. But despite all that, the excuse is, well, if they would have armed the slaves,
I mean, they're armed the slaves. They want the slaves over here to be slaves. Why not give a slave a gun?
That's what it goes.
I mean, you kidding me?
But anyway, the point, the question, talking about your numbers. Let's just go with that hypothetical scenario. If you armed all the slaves, you know what they would call this South? A black country.
That's right.
That means no more. They had more slaves in the South than whites.
That's
right.
All dead. Would all those slaves have died on those ships if they all had guns? Give me a break. What is this man insane?
It's just stupid on his face. You know what they're gonna?
Make sure all those slaves have those rifles before you put them in the ankle chains.
Yeah. Put them in the hold and make sure everybody's got the assault rifle.
And make sure they got the ammunition.
Yeah. And you know what you call that? The first African Navy.
Absolutely. What are you kidding?
It's
this
stupid.
Man makes
it's
no
stupid.
Freaking common sense whatsoever.
Oh, God.
And here's this fool. You mentioned him before. I needed to play this.
I come to Albany proudly and voluntarily as a citizen legislator. I leave my wife and three young daughters home alone for days at a time to represent my constituents up here, far from home. After what happened to the young mother in Loganville, Georgia, who defended her two young children against an intruder, this bill will turn me into a criminal because you can bet that before I leave to do the people's work, there will be more than seven bullets in the magazine of my wife's firearm.
What?
That woman who he's talking about shot the intruder four times.
Right.
Killed him.
Well, again.
And didn't have an AK-47 or an AR-15.
Again.
Had a regular six shooter.
A
38.
That makes sense. And he's even talking about that, he's going to leave the guns there with his wife and children, whatever. Okay. We're not talking about any restriction of any of that. You can have a gun on every nightstand, in every drawer, under every pillow, in your socks. You can have one every 5 feet on the floor. You can have guns all over the place. We just said that you can't have a machine gun with a 15 rounds.
We evidently now know who is the pants in that family. It's his wife. The problem is, though, that young lady who shot that intruder had a revolver. She didn't need an AK-47 or a Glock, and she hit the intruder four times.
Right.
We're not talking about his wife can't have a gun. We said that she shouldn't have an AR-15 or a Glock. She doesn't need it if she can shoot.
Right.
But that's beside the point. And he is so afraid for his wife and family, he needs to keep his ass at home and get a job at a hardware store.
Right. Or maybe a gun store. So
a gun store.
He can get 30% off on every firearm.
That's right. Local, he needs to stay home and not leave home. Because, hey, they don't make a lot of money, do they?
And this is another thing that I want to talk about mental health earlier.
That's mental health we're talking about right now.
Exactly.
Because
these people, and this is the way they always get by, It's the same way with the color-coded terror threat levels that they kept all during the Bush years. You remember that? Oh, my God, today's rainbow! Okay. It's the live-in-fear mentality. If you live in so much fear that when you go to work, you have to leave your poor, shivering wife in the middle of the room holding a gun at the door, and you better have more than 10 bullets in it or there's no chance of survival till you get home.
Yeah.
What fantasy world do you live in Syria
as you know, what the heck are you talking about?
Well, you know, when everybody's telling some of these people, I call nervous drivers that shouldn't even be in a car. I mean, they're driving. Oh my God! Oh God! Yeah, pushing it. Oh my God! Oh, these trucks on the road. Oh, I can't. Oh my God! Oh, I go. They go back to New York. They say, "Oh my God, I can't drive in New York." Oh no, the truck that they drive.
It's too fast. It's too busy.
Why are you driving? Yeah. Take a freaking cab. Take a subway. Oh no, you're making shout on the subway? No, that don't happen in New York. I was never shot on the subway, and I rode it every day for years. I never saw the first holdup I ever saw in person was in Charlotte, North Carolina, at my own bank. Well, I mean, come on. What are we talking about? These people are saying, hey, and speaking about a pimple on your rear end.
Mark the date. It isn't going to be long before moderate Republicans start going on television to push the notion that guns are hurting Republicans with independent voters and women. The moderate, spineless, linguine-spined Republicans, it isn't going to be long as this controversy heats up. You know, they wilt. None of these proposals would have stopped the shooter in Newtown, Connecticut. None of them. There is no such thing as an assault weapon, by the way. An assault weapons ban is a catch-all term, but there is no such thing as an assault weapon. That's not an official category. If they could write their ticket, if they could, they would eliminate guns. And there are a whole host of reasons why, and safety is probably not in the top five. I say it in a non-threatening way, in an attempted humorous way. The wet dream plan for eliminating guns in this country has been a plan that the left has had for years, and it's been sitting in a drawer somewhere waiting to be pulled out at the appropriate time, just like health care was.
Speaking about wet dreams, about wet dreams, who hasn't seen his penis since he was two.
Since that weekend in the Caribbean.
Weekend in the Caribbean with the Oxycontin?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wasn't this the guy that was arrested when he was coming back and he had like an entire suitcase full of I hope to stay hard pills or something?
This is the same fat ass that had a pimple on his butt that couldn't go into the military because he had a pimple on his butt.
And you want to talk about mental health? Let's pull out a little Dr. Freud. And his cigar is sometimes not a cigar, but we just had a guy talking about his linguine lymph noodle that he keeps in the drawer that he needs to whip out at the appropriate time. I'm just saying, that's his own words. I mean, but what's on your mind, Rush? Really?
Listen, before I want to play this. This is the proposals. This is what the vice president and the president did say about their proposals for the gun laws.
It's been 33 days since the nation's heart was broken by the horrific, senseless violence that took place at Sandy Hook Elementary School. 20 beautiful first graders gunned down in a place that's supposed to be their second sanctuary. Six members of the staff killed trying to save those children. We all know we have a moral obligation to everything in our power to diminish the prospect that something like this could happen again. I want to personally thank Chris and Lynn McDonald, who lost a beautiful daughter, Grace, and the other parents who I had a chance to speak to for their suggestions and for, again, just for their the courage of all of you to be here today. I admire the grace and the resolve that you all are showing. And I must say, I've been deeply affected by your faith as well. And the President and I are going to do everything to try to match the resolve you've demonstrated.
This is our first task as a society, keeping our children safe. This is how we will be judged. So I'm putting forward a specific set of proposals based on the work of Joe's task force. And in the days ahead, I intend to use whatever weight this office holds to make them a reality. Because while there is no law or set of laws that can prevent every senseless act of violence completely, no piece of legislation that will prevent every tragedy, every act of evil, if there is even one thing we can do to reduce this violence, if there's even one life that can be saved, then we've got an obligation to try. First, it's time for Congress to require a universal background check for anyone trying to buy a gun. Second, Congress should restore a ban on military-style assault weapons and a 10-round limit for magazines. And finally, Congress needs to help rather than hinder law enforcement as it does its job. We should get tougher on people who buy guns with the express purpose of turning around and selling them to criminals. And we should severely punish anybody who helps them do this. Colin, this will be difficult. There will be pundits and politicians and special interest lobbyists publicly warning of a tyrannical all-out assault on liberty. Not because that's true, but because they want to gin up fear or higher ratings or revenue for themselves. And behind the scenes, they'll do everything they can to block any common sense reform and make sure nothing changes whatsoever. When I visited Newtown last month, I spent some private time with many of the families who lost their children that day. And one was the family of Grace McDonald. Grace's parents are here. Grace was 7 years old when she was struck down. Just a gorgeous, caring, joyful little girl. I'm told she loved pink. She loved the beach. She dreamed of becoming a painter. And so just before I left, Chris, her father, gave me one of her paintings. And I hung it in my private study just off the Oval Office. And every time I look at that painting, I think about Grace. And I think about the life that she lived and the life that lay ahead of her. And most of all, I think about how when it comes to protecting the most vulnerable among us, we must act now. For Grace. For the 25 other innocent children and devoted educators who had so much left to give. For the men and women in big cities and small towns who fall victim to senseless violence each and every day. For all the Americans who are counting on us to keep them safe from harm. Let's do the right thing. Let's do the right thing for them and for this country that we love so much.
I mean, what else can be said? What else can be said?
I find it interesting that all these neoconservative so-called Christians that believe in the Bible that says, you know, suffer the little children and all that, then they're going to go and defend the right to blow them away with the automatic.
I was reading about this this fool, Representative Steve Toth, another Texan.
What is it down there?
He said that he's filed a bill that would have federal officials prosecuted for trying to infringe on the Second Amendment rights of Texas citizens. We're going to make it illegal for federal officials to come into the state of Texas under executive order. Now, do you remember any of these 23 executive orders that I read says about going into Texas? You remember anywhere in there about an executive order saying anybody was taking a car or a plane or walking anywhere.
Maybe he meant you got to get all of those postmen that are delivering the letters. The
they're not really federal. They're sort of quasi-federal.
Yeah. But anyway, this is, again, showing the extremism of these people. This is a sitting representative in Texas filing a bill
in Texas
to try and prosecute federal officials from implementing federal law in the state of Texas. He said, any who try to impose federal law will be subject to the prosecution of the state of Texas. I mean, again, this is anti-American, anti-U.S. government. It's absolutely unbelievable. It's
now,
like,
what do you mean by supremacy clause? What the hell is that? Toast said that it would not cover federal overreach since it would
be
trumped by the supremacy clause. Right now, the bill is being reviewed by lawyers before the bill is brought up before the House. What the hell is the supremacy clause?
So Article 6, Clause 2 of the Constitution, known as the Supremacy Clause, establishes that the U.S. Constitution and federal statutes and all U.S. treaties are the supreme law of the land and supersede all other state and local laws.
Oh, so you mean that any federal law supersedes automatically any state law?
Yep.
Duh.
So a federal law that is in conflict or in any way different from a local law or a local state constitution law or any locality shall supersede that one.
Well, is that why you see in all these TV shows and movies, when the feds come in, they say, it's our crime scene now? It's our jurisdiction now? Because they supersede?
Yeah. But look, the United States Senate itself says, and I quote, the Supremacy Clause is the most important guarantor of national union, as the most important principle of the United States of America. It assures that the Constitution and all federal laws and treaties will take precedence over state laws and binds all judges to adhere to the principles in their courts so that there is uniform conformity of law.
Okay, so that means that Ron Paul, Stockman, Katz, this guy, stupid three-toed Toth, are they talking about another country?
Well, that's what apparently they are, because you remember Ron Paul and them, Rand. I think Rand was the one. I can't remember. Ron Rand,
the same thing.
I can't remember which one of them said it, but they're the ones that said that they didn't think that civil rights and all that apply to companies.
Oh, that's correct.
Remember? That you have the right, because it's a company making money, if you don't like blacks,
that's right.
You don't need them.
Well, that's what he said. They didn't have the right to come into Woodward.
You're right.
Because Woodward was private.
If their business, if they don't want to, I'm sorry, my phone's gone off. If they don't want to have those nasty old dark people in their store, that's their right. And that's their business. And too bad for you. And that is, again, going back to the old Confederate days, literally. Going back to
the old
where they, any local anything trumps something. Now, the other day, they were trying to do this on internet activity. I don't know if you remember
all
that day, but some local Tennessee, it's always Tennessee, Texas, or Mississippi, or wherever these laws come from, right? But some local people in Tennessee, local little, representative down there, he tried to get a law passed because he's opposed to porn. But he tried to get a law passed that said any local law supersedes any interaction or transaction so that if a company offered a product in L.A. or New York, that was fine. If it went to small-town, rural, backwatery and offered it, they could be prosecuted under the law of backwatery.
And they could be held accountable to that. And that was all thrown out because it said that would be absolute chaos because it would end up with an infinity of laws and standards, and there'd be no one. And anybody could be prosecuted for anything because you could claim, you know, well, in my county, you can't have green garden hoses.
I know exactly what he'll tell you. Lies. He was no different from any other officer in the wardroom. They were...
Oh, God.
They're all lying. They're all lying. That's what it is. They're all lying.
These executive orders are solely to institute the tyrannical kingdom of Obama.
The tyrannical kingdom
and
of Obama.
He's coming to your house right now at
he's
night.
Coming to
like a ninja.
Theater. Like
he's
a ninja.
Steal your weapons right out from under your bed. Probably.
Unbelievable.
Right from your wife's hand. And you know what? Actually, since he's a black man.
Yes.
He'll probably rape her too.
Oh, man.
Because that's what they do.
I'm telling you.
Now,
you know,
I don't understand this, though, this insanity with these guys.
Well, speaking about insane, we have one last clip I got to play.
Right.
This is one of our famous and lovely governors. And she is lovely, if you like Halloween. But but she is now on board with Obamacare.
Uh-oh.
It's going to create jobs. It's going to keep it, particularly our rural hospitals. And it's a moral thing. We've got people that need insurance, and we're paying for it, but the taxpayers are paying for it now. So when you put everything down side by side, it's the right thing to do. It's impossible to think of doing anything else. Why would I want to send $2 billion to New York or New Jersey or back east to anywhere where they would just squander it or give it to Colorado?
This is a complex, multifaceted problem. And this is a...
I can't remember anything that happened before.
I mean, give me a break. Right. Let's don't give it to New York City where they're going to squander it.
I can squander it myself.
I mean, wait a minute. They're in Texas. They're in Backwaterville. What are you talking about squandering?
Well, you remember this is a...
I mean, give us a break.
Same lady who wasn't going to allow any immigration law, federal law.
Isn't this the same one that gave plastic surgery a bad name?
I'm telling you.
You know, the thing is that these people are so innate. It's beyond belief and defies the imaginative element that any writer could come up with to writing a story.
Yeah.
They are so innate.
Well,
that, I mean, words fail me. And
yeah.
This is really one of the first times. She really, words fail me with her. She's the one who fought against Obamacare. She said she was never going to have it. She never was going to do it. This was not anything that I ever want in my place at all.
She found out magically that the people wanted it.
Oh, wait a minute. Didn't she say it was going to create jobs?
Indeed.
I thought
there's
the federal government.
In them, their policy.
You think it's money in them, their policy. Huh?
Yeah,
didn't she say that it creates jobs? And was that one of the things that the government doesn't create jobs?
No. Well, then they also claimed that as soon as it was instituted, that it would destroy all jobs and shoot your grandmother. Remember that? I mean, that was.
Well.
Well, look,
it has been a great day.
I want to say this real quick. I think the key here was with Dr. Grace, mental health. I think they need to get back to helping people. I think we need to help society. There's too much anger and weaponry and everything else. There's no help for the poor. There's no help for the unhealthy. There's no help for children. There's no help for anyone. We can help out. And this guy, Walter Mead, in an article, he called mental health the invisible trigger that starts all this violence. I think that's partly true. But it's poverty. It's all the desperation across the board. And if we would just start investing in our country, we'd save our country.
Well, I'm in from the Archie Bunker scheme of things. I think we ought to arm everybody, including the janitors, from the kids in kindergarten to the janitors. Oh, we just give the kids six shooters. We give the janitors bazookas. No one will ever come into the school because it'll be a fortress, and we can have another class just in shooting. Shooting for first graders,
that's
shooting
right.
for kindergarteners. Listen, this is going to be a great day. We're going to have a great weekend. A couple of games are coming on this weekend. I want the New England Patriots to get their butts kicked. I also want to have San Francisco to win it all.
Well, it doesn't matter. Let's just have fun and enjoy and stop shooting people.
This has been The Last Word. Have a great weekend. See you next week.
I close my eyes and close myself and close my world and never open up to anything that could get me at all. I had to close down everything. I had to close down my mind. Too many things caught me. Too much can make me blind. I've seen so much in so many places. So many heartaches. So